This is PFW in Progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man!
Yeah, but tell me, so what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window! What's the charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yes. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned Capricorn. Tell him that we went to the clinic today, and I found out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Is this the man who wrecked the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning?
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in Progress.
Had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Boy, we got a lot to talk about, Tom.
It sucked. It stunk.
And some of it's not good.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's pitiful. I mean, it's absolutely pitiful.
I've gotten over this floss already.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not dwelling on it. It's
in my opinion,
season.
That sucked.
Got 8 games to go, but we've got a lot to talk about.
We do have a lot to talk about.
And I'm kind of a little bit surprised at how quickly fans have gone from, hey, this is it, we're going to Miami, to it's the end of the world.
Doesn't take long, does it?
I'm not there, Tom. That's usually me, but I'm not going to fall for that. But we'll take all the emails we can, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com, and we've got a ton of emails already.
There is something we need to be concerned about. In the last 2 seasons, they're 4-9 against teams with winning records. Now, that is a problem. I don't want to hear in Bill We Trust. You're 4-9 against teams with winning records, and that is a problem if you're supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFL. I told you before the game, Fred, what did I say? I said they may be in trouble tonight because the Vikings and the Bengals suck. We thought they were good when they played them, but they're 500 football teams. They've played 2 teams this year that are good at home,
right,
and lost.
No, it's true. We have a lot to talk about here. You know me. I've been saying since that game was in progress that why aren't they using Maroney more?
I felt he was
the one mismatch that they had on that field, and I don't care what the stats say, 33 runs to 35 passes and all that stuff. They were never behind by that much where they had to give up on the
runs.
Yeah, and I just think that Maroney was the guy that you just keep banging.
Well, and the reason is because the Broncos showed that once you get by the Colts' defensive front, which is often, by the way, that their secondary, other than Bob Sanders, who didn't play in that game, are very bad tacklers. Like Mike Bell, who's not a really shifty guy to begin with, was making them miss and getting yards after secondary players made contact with them. Now, who's going to do that for the Patriots? Lawrence Maroney. Now, Tony Dungy says after the game, Bob Sanders was so important that 3 of his tackles prevented Maroney from scoring. Now, just think about that. If you gave him 10 more carries, maybe 1 or 2 of those times Bob Sanders isn't there and Maroney takes it to the house. Yep. So, Dungy is pretty much telling you Bob Sanders was between him and the end zone. And I just don't understand where he was in the second half, whether it be on screen plays, passes out of the backfield, runs. I just don't get it.
And, you know, I know one of Brady's, his first interception was Brady's fault. A couple others were tipped, but you shouldn't even be throwing it up that much.
2 of them were his fault. The one to Watson where Sanders got him were 2 bad passes.
You know, but even though you shouldn't be throwing it up that much when you have a guy like Maroney who's the mismatch. You know, and then sometimes they were running these fake reverses. You don't need to do that.
Don't need to do it.
And you don't need to do it.
I saw some emails that came in for Ask PFW. I guess John Madden was saying the same thing on the air that, you know, you don't need to do all this against the Colts. You can just go right at them.
Just go right at them. Beat them down. I mean, by the fourth quarter, these guys would be so worn down if you had done that. Then you could throw it because they couldn't cover you.
Paul made a good point just before I came down. After the Chad Scott interception where they had the ball like around midfield, that's like the Steelers of last year. They would have just said, you know what, we're going to put two tight ends in here and we're going to cram it down your freaking throat and take your manhood. Instead, the Patriots throw two straight passes. That's when I thought they, and Paul agreed, he pointed it out, that they should have lined up and said, okay, we got the ball back, we got momentum, now stop us right now, we're going to take it right at you.
Yeah, now I know, you know, you can make the argument that, hey, you know, now's the time. You go for the jugular. You know, you go for the quick strike. Kind of, they're on their heels. You know, and there's a case to be made for that, but not when you have such a mismatch in the running game.
Yeah, and you know what? I can't do it anymore, Fred. I'm sick of toeing the company line. Those receivers suck. And they prove it in big games that they suck. If they're going to play the Vikings and the Bills, and God bless you. But you know what? Where's Chad Jackson? I know rookie receivers aren't blowing up all over the league, but you look at Demetrius Williams in Baltimore. You look at Jennings in Green Bay.
Colston,
well, he's kind of a weird exception. But even Santonio Holmes, they're on the field at least contributing. Chad Jackson's on the field for like three plays a game. So, I mean, where is he? Where is he? Caldwell can't get open against good teams. I mean, this was the Colts secondary we're talking about. Gabriel was never open throughout the entire game. I'm sorry, I'm sick of toeing the line. These receivers stink. Halfway through the season, and I can tell you, if when they play the better teams in the league, they're going to have the same problems. I know, well, some of the balls were tipped, blah, blah, blah. Those guys weren't open. They weren't open.
Well, I'm not going to go all the way there. I think these guys are okay, and I think they're going to be okay, but I just...
Bottom line.
I'm questioning the play calling.
Four receivers caught passes for the Colts, okay? We make a big deal. Oh, 10 receivers caught passes. Four for the Colts. One was Ben Utek,
I know,
okay?
I know. So but that has nothing to do with the Patriots receivers.
No, but this goes back to my point at the beginning of the year. You got Tom Brady in the prime of his career, and you have him throwing a Rashe Caldwell. Inexcusable. Inexcusable.
All right. Well, hey. That said, you know, the penalties, it was just a bad showing for the Patriots on a Sunday night game all around. No excuses. I mean, a lot of people are criticizing the refs. I think the refs
didn't make
a
difference.
No, I think the refs were bad on the other side of the ball, too.
Yeah, the Troy Brown call was one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
It didn't affect the game.
They
ended up scoring anyway. Yeah. So that was a terrible call, but it didn't affect it.
What do you think the odds were in Vegas that you would get Brown and Harrison for taunting in
right,
the same game?
The Harrison one was not as bad a call as the Brown, but it was still a bad call. It might have been a makeup call. Who knows? But that didn't have any effect. The refs were equally bad on both sides of the ball. But, you know, turning the ball over five times, and I know two of the passes were tipped, but just throwing it up there that much when you got a guy like Lawrence Maroney, who was the mismatch on either team.
I agree with you. We said it, and this isn't something that it's Tuesday. We said this in the press box during the game.
During the game.
Where's Maroney?
Even when the game was still within reach, and that one play where it looked like a Chinese fire drill in the Patriots backfield, I turned to you and go, just give him the ball and let him run. Forget about all this stuff. Just give him the ball.
Four carries in the second half, Fred, for Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah.
Four carries. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
I mean, I don't care about...
You saw how good they could tackle him on the kickoffs.
Right.
When he was returning them for 40 yards every time. They can't tackle.
Right.
You get Maroney in the open field, and he will make people miss and run over them.
You know, so I just... But that's also why, Tom, I'm not down on this game. I mean, I'm down on the game, but I'm not down on the season because...
Doesn't matter.
What I saw was absolutely correctable. It's not...
But you know what, Fred? Rest of the season, until they get to Jacksonville, unless if that game's meaningful, means nothing to me. What are they going to do? They're going to go beat the Lions? They're going to go beat the Texans?
Well...
They need to beat the better teams.
You're right about that.
And you know from the start, I told you the Bears are no challenge. They're a fraud.
Well,
I've been telling you that. But no NFC team's going to come in here and beat the Patriots. That I know. I'm waiting to see Jacksonville now. If that game means something, I want to see them go beat Jacksonville. Because if they lose to Jacksonville, that's 0-3 against the three best teams that they played. That doesn't bode well for the playoffs. It just doesn't.
No, and it is something that going into the playoffs, even if they beat Jacksonville going into the playoffs, you know, because Jacksonville is not an end-of-season team. Jacksonville is supposed to be okay. Last year they came in here in the playoffs. The Patriots dismantled
them. But
at home,
Jacksonville is very good.
Yeah.
So if they go in there and beat them, that would be an impressive victory, in my opinion.
Okay.
But if they go in there and get whooped, then you're saying they got dominated by the Broncos. The Colts should have won that game by 3 touchdowns. They had chances. I mean, they really shot themselves in the foot a bunch of times. So they lost at home. That's the most disappointing thing, Fred.
Colts didn't play that well either.
No, and then these losses are coming at home.
Yeah.
This is a place where teams never come in.
I know, Tom. But again, I think what we saw and the reasons why the Patriots lost on Sunday night, they're correctable. Now,
correctable.
If you're right and the receivers are as good as they'll ever get and Brady working with them is as good as it ever get, maybe there are going to be problems. Maybe they're not going to go far this year. But I just have to think that I know I don't know as much football as these guys, the Patriots coaches, but I got to imagine they're going to look at that film and admit to themselves, we got to start making Maroney the number one guy.
Yeah.
We got to start getting him 30 carries a game.
Right.
You know, instead of, what did he have, 13?
13.
You know, and that's just it. I mean, forget about the rookie wall. He's had enough rest.
Well, plus he hasn't been carrying the load.
That's what I'm saying. So he's had enough rest up to this point. He's got to be the guy, and Dylan will come in every once in a while to give him a breather.
Yeah, it's time to make the change. It's going to happen next year anyway, so just do it.
Yeah, I think you got to do that. The other thing is, I think you got to start working in Dave Thomas, because if Graham's going to continue to be hurt, you can't just have Watson being the only tight end option.
I agree with
you. Every time they give the ball they go to Thomas's way, it's like overthrown or not even close to him. Now, maybe he's running the wrong route, but the one ball that they threw to him went way out of bounds. So I just think you got to start working Thomas into the...
Yeah, where's this great rookie class that we heard? Thomas and Jackson and Mills.
Well, I'm not giving up on that either.
But I'm just saying, where are they?
I know. But you can't have Watson being the only tight end option out there. I mean, case in point, you know, you go into the game and Dallas Clark, everyone knows Dallas Clark's name. Now, I know Ben Utecht is technically not a tight end on their roster, but he is.
Yeah, he's a tight end.
You know, and he came in and he caught a couple key passes. That's what we need from Dave Thomas.
Right.
He's got to be that other guy when everybody's focusing on Ben Watson and the receivers that springs open and Brady's got to look to him. Especially if Graham's going to continue to be hurt.
I'm just disappointed in the performance. I really am. I mean, the Bronco game, you could have said, well, it was during the Deion Branch thing. The passing game wasn't really clicking at that point. But to come out and lay another egg on national television at home, that really disappointed me.
Wouldn't you feel better, for example, if the Patriots beat the Colts and then laid an egg against the Jets?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And lost that game?
Yeah, because you could say they weren't quite up for it.
I would feel better about that.
Yeah, I would.
You know?
Now they're just going to go out and whoop on the Jets, and then we're going to have to sit here and talk about how great they are.
We really know the Patriots are better than the Jets. Yeah. Right now, the Colts are better than the Patriots.
Right. And can we put to bed the Bill Belichick finds a way to rattle Peyton Manning?
Because not anymore.
It's wind and snow. Yeah. Let's be honest. It's wind and snow. That's what rattles Peyton Manning. Because if you look throughout his career, most of the games he's done well, his team just has lost.
Yep. But that said, I mean, you know, they scored one touchdown in the second half, the Colts did. You know, there were a couple drives where Manning just did not look good.
You know,
had their chance.
You know what their problem is?
The defense was stepping up. They forced they forced Vinatieri on the field, what, 4 times?
The defense was far below average, Fred. You're missing the whole point. The problem with the Colts is, the reason they didn't score more is because one of the Colts' problems, which could hurt them in the playoffs, they can't score in the red zone against good teams by running the football. And that, like, if the Patriots got inside the 10 against the Colts, they would score every time because they would just hand the ball off.
Right.
The Colts got in and were forced to throw, and then the Patriots, you know, they played well and stopped the run. That's where I think the Colts can get into trouble, is they can't stop the run and they can't run against good teams.
Yep.
But I don't really give – I mean, the Patriots, I can't give their defense much credit. I thought it played like garbage.
Well, I mean, they did give up a lot of yards through the air, but it's Peyton Manning, and I'm not surprised that he's going to connect – with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. I'm not surprised at that.
But my point is, if they had the edge, they would have scored more touchdowns, I bet. They just don't really have a running game, and I think that hurts them. To be honest with you, if I'm the Colts, I'd rather have the ball at the 20 than the 6. because you have a better chance with that team of scoring from the 20 than you do with the 6.
Maybe the 40, actually.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so.
And I'll tell you right now, if Rodney Harrison is out for an extended period of time, that's not good.
Any word on that?
There was a report from one of the smaller paper, the Eagle Tribune. Is that a paper?
Yeah.
There's a report he tore his rotator cuff. Don't know anything about that. I'm just saying what Paul read to me out of the Boston Herald, that they mentioned a report out of the Eagle Tribune that he tore his rotator cuff. And we did, the Patriots signed safety Rashad Baker, off waivers from Minnesota. They released Antoine Spann, and then another one of the great draft picks, Dan Stevenson, was released from the practice squad.
So that's a sign there that they need a little help in the safety position, so that
that's not a good sign.
Harrison will probably be out for a little bit of time anyway. Rotator cuff, I know it's a really bad injury in baseball. I don't know what the implications of a rotator cuff injury are in football.
I think there's different kinds of tears. Like, there's different parts of the rotator cuff, and it depends on where you tear it.
Yeah.
So that would probably be the deciding factor.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy making tackles, obviously using his shoulder, I'm not sure if it's just a pain thing or, you know, you just can't play with something like that because you're not throwing the ball. I mean, if it was a quarterback, it would be a whole different thing. So I just don't know. I don't know what the implications of an injury.
I think if you have a bad tear, I think you're probably done.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a tough injury. It takes time to heal up.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see. I mean, that was huge, not having Harrison out there because of his physical presence.
Then you take Scott and move him to safety. You bring Hobbs in, put him on Harrison.
Yeah, I mean, it was a trickle-down effect, no doubt about it. And, of course, Wilson didn't play to begin with. So there's two frontline guys, again, out.
And let's bring up something, and let me tell you something. This isn't me being – Fred has been bringing this up. Where in the heck is Teddy Bruschi?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
he was third. I think he was third on the team in tackles in the game.
I don't care. I'm talking about the eyeball test, Fred. I'll be the first to admit that I was totally wrong on Junior Seau because he's playing good football. I keep seeing him making plays, seeing him in the backfield. I don't see Teddy Bruschi anywhere.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think he's jumping on piles.
Well, see, up to this point, and again, it could be the competition, I was saying the same thing. I just have this feeling that Teddy's not playing that well, and then I would second-guess myself saying, yeah, but – you know, they're giving up less and less points every week. So you can't have your inside linebacker not playing well and then have that good production out of your total defense. So we must be doing something right. But then again, last week, you know, Sunday night, we saw a lot of, you know, intermediate passes where Bruschi was trailing the play and coming in late on the play. They did well against the run. Bruschi was third in the team in tackles.
I understand that, but that defensive line is so freaking dominant that it's going to be hard for
anybody. But is that his fault? Is that his fault? Is that Bruschi's fault that getting the play before it gets to him?
No, but I'm saying is that when he has chances to make plays in the middle of the field, he's not making them.
I know. So, I mean, I'm the one who...
You brought it up. Yeah. So
and it is the eyeball test. It's just that it doesn't seem like he's as active as he has been the last 3 or 4 years.
Right. You can tell Seau isn't as quick as he used to be. You can see it, but
he's
in there. He's anticipating plays. He's in the hole.
And even Vrabel. Vrabel's missed some tackles this year, but he's there.
He's there.
He's in the area. Colvin... not so much, although he's been coming on a little bit later. But, you know, front line, Ty Warren, Wilfort, Seymour, you can see where they're contributing. You can see Chad Scott's contributions.
Right.
You know, you can see Ellis Hobbs, good or bad, but you know what he's doing. Bruschi just seems like he's being lost in the play. It's not until after the play. He's like, where was Bruschi on that play? You know, the second nature that he has on the field, the instincts that he's shown in the past, I'm not sure I'm seeing it.
And that's a big deal because if you take Harrison out of the mix and Bruschi's not playing well, those are guys that have those instincts that you're talking about that make big plays in big games. And if you don't have either one of them, like we saw last year, you have problems stopping teams.
So I'm just hoping that it's just my not understanding what's going on there that's making me think that. And someone who knows the game film and the game plan and his role and responsibility on every play will say, no, you're way off. He's doing what we need him to do, and he's doing it well. I'm hoping that's the case. But, again, like you said, the eyeball test, I don't see it.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't have the information.
And we're not all gloom and doom. It's one game. But here's the bottom line. Three best teams in the AFC, Indianapolis, Denver, San Diego. The Patriots are 0-6 against them the last 2 years. Wow. That's a problem.
That is a
problem.
We were we We made no bones about the fact when they were winning championships about their record against
good
playoff
teams. Right.
And that was one of the reasons why they were so good. If they're not going to beat these guys, then who are they? You know?
You're not going to play the Bills in the playoffs.
Yeah, so it is something to be concerned with. We have to be honest. We can't look it through completely rose-colored glasses. But I'm over this game. I'm looking ahead to the Jets. I know we have a lot to talk about. Our fans want to talk about it. So we will do that. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Today was the players' day off.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you want to talk about before we get into emails, anything like that? We mentioned the news.
I think that, you know, I would still much rather have Adam Vinatieri than the guy that we have because he missed a field goal too, which was an easy one. But Vinatieri flat out choked.
Yeah.
Flat out choked.
Yeah.
I've never seen him choke that bad.
The first one, okay, but the second one, which was.
He doesn't miss that in a million years.
Yeah, that was one that puts the game away. And he missed it.
He flat out choked.
I don't know.
I don't want to get emails saying, are you still sorry that we let Adam go? Yes, because he's 15 for 17 and your guy is 7 for 11. And he missed another easy one.
Yeah.
So don't, you know,
But still, it was pretty amazing.
It was amazing to watch.
I mean, when he missed that field goal, I'm like, that's it. Patriots
score
and they go to overtime
and
they win. I just figured that was it, you know, but, you know,
he definitely choked. Adam Vinatieri choked on Sunday night. There's no other way of getting around it.
One other thing I want to bring up, Kevin Faulk. Now a couple times this year where he's kind of let the team down a little bit.
And you know what? I've been defending him, but I got to be honest with you. I don't see him making the contributions this year that he has in the past. I know he's been doing good in punt returns, so I'll give him that. But as far as offensively, do you see him making, like, the big catches that he usually makes, like, on third downs like he has in the past? Because I don't see it, really.
Again, I want to give the ball to Maroney. He's my playmaker.
That's what I'm saying. I think other people are now taking some of the things that he used to do.
Yeah.
And even when I see him catch the ball, it's not for that 32-yard gain that he used to get. It's for, like, a 6-yard gain. He's definitely not playing well this year, so I'm not going to defend him because, you know, he's simply not playing well.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some emails. And again, it's webradio@patriots.com. A lot of emails in, Tom, already.
Well, I figured that.
You know, they started yesterday and, you know, pre-mails for
this
show. So we're going to try to get to them all. I'm just trying to think, is there anything else going on? No? Before we get to the emails.
With the Patriots?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just say it again for anyone that just tuned in?
They claimed Rashad Baker, safety from the off waivers from the Minnesota Vikings. They released Antoine Spahn, and they've also released Stevenson from the practice squad. So now I believe that leaves two open spots on the practice squad.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Oliver Hoyt is catching passes in Dallas.
Well,
I'd rather
be a Patriots fan right now than a Dallas fan. What's going on down there?
I'm just saying, you know, you get your boy Oliver Hoyt, you got a fullback, you got a linebacker, you got a special teams guy.
Crazy week in the NFL, by the way. I mean, the Bears losing like they did. I mean, Miami?
But I've been telling you that, you know.
We both said that Miami would keep it close. I picked Miami on the cover. But I'm still a little bit surprised.
And I mentioned this to you now. Is this one of those things where Miami's going to get on another roll when they're out of it? And all of a sudden they're one of those teams that when the pressure's on, they can't win a game. But when they're out of it, all of a sudden they start racking up victories.
Yeah, they could. They could.
That'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. And, you know, backup quarterbacks playing well. You know, Seneca Williams.
Wallace
last night.
Well, listen, since
he played okay.
Since you mentioned last night's game, people always ask me why I like college football over pro football. Last night's game is why I like college football better. Are you telling me the Raiders are a professional football team? Mm. They can't even get a snap off. That's embarrassing. That's what parody is.
And I don't like that quarterback that the Raiders have. I think he's a punk.
No, he sucked in college. I hated him at Arizona State.
His ability. I think he's one of those guys that think he's 10 times better than he really is.
And Fred, now listen, they can't move the ball at all, right, for like the
all
third
early.
Straight week? They couldn't move the ball at all, right? They had no chance ever scoring a point. Now, I know that Tuiasosopo isn't the best quarterback in the world, but he's played some NFL football. Wouldn't you make a quarterback switch at some point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, this guy, and the other thing about Tuiasosopo is he has some mobility. So with that rush coming, maybe he can get away from
it. This guy's a statue.
This guy's a statue. That Art Shell, why does he have headphones on? He never says anything. He just stands there.
Yeah.
That team is.
And then you got Al Davis, who is just like, I don't know what he's doing up. He's like out of it.
And I'm ashamed of Mike Tirico and those guys, because they said, they mentioned Al Davis about seeing progress in the team, and he said, don't talk to me about progress. Talk to me about winning, because all I care about is winning right now. Did they say, Al, are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, you last in virtually every. You're lucky if you win four games this year. You're going for the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So, and that's right there shows you the denial that Al Davis is in right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to talk about his team getting better. He already thinks they're good.
Yeah. No, it's
awful.
He's out of it. The team's out of it. And they need a new structure from the top down.
Yep.
They really do. Okay, let's get to the emails. The first one comes from Rodrigo, and he says, first off, I love the show and how you guys try to see the both sides of every story. I've been a Patriots fan for 10 years. I'm 18, and I grew up in Springfield, Mass. I don't remember having felt such heartache over any type of sporting event like I did on Sunday. I felt disappointed before, of course, but never has my heart hurt so bad than it did when Falk dropped that pass. Having said that, I don't think that Falk will drop not one catchable ball for the rest of the season, because if I were him, I would have practiced till the wee hours of the night. What the fuck? So we were just talking about Kevin Falk. You know, when he dropped that pass and it got intercepted, you know, in a Patriots fan mindset, you think, okay, well, something's going to happen. There's got to be a flag on the field, or, you know, something will overturn that, or, you know, but for once he just said, you had to admit, this is it. It's over.
Right.
That was it. There's no tuck rule. There's no thing that's going to happen that's going to overturn this. You know, for once, the Patriots did not take advantage of another team's,
you know. And I'll go back to the alarming statistic. They're 16-9 the past 2 years. They're 12-0 against teams with records of 500 or less. So, in other words, they're racking up victories against bad teams and losing to the good ones. That's not a good sign for your franchise. It just isn't. Because then you're going to get into the playoffs and you're going to be complaining about referees and this and that. But you know what? They lose to these teams all the time, so why would you expect to beat them in the playoffs?
Yeah. Well, we should mention and give congratulations to Troy Brown, who set the team's franchise record for receptions. You know, that's great. It couldn't happen to a better guy. Too bad it happened in that game, but we need to do a shout-out to Troy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, like you said, two of the most gentle players, soft-spoken players in the league – Troy Brown and Marvin Harrison both get flagged for taunting. The Troy Brown one was just ridiculous.
You know what? I can understand throwing the flag initially because you thought he threw it at the guy.
Yeah.
But you think they would have come together and said, hey, he wasn't throwing it at the guy. He was just tossing the football.
Right.
So I don't blame the initial flag throwing. I just figured, are you going to correct it? Because it was obvious to anybody who was – I mean, there's more than one official on the field. Nobody saw that it wasn't intentional.
And, you know, Bill Belichick was on Patriots Monday yesterday afternoon, and rarely does – you know, he'll kind of be vague about bad calls in the past, but rarely does he be specific. And he came right out and said that was just ridiculous,
that
whole thing, you know.
That was bad.
Let's see. Buzz in Mesa, Arizona. What's
Buzz.
Up? Yeah, he says, what's up with Doug Gabriel and Chad Jackson? Why isn't their height advantage being utilized more? Also, at times it seems like Gabriel is running a route just for the sake of running it. Well, that's to Tom's point.
They're not open. I'm just telling you that they're not open.
Yeah. I mean, we can say that in other games, but for as far as this game is concerned, I don't care what they were doing. All I care is that they didn't give the ball to Maroney enough in the second half.
But your receivers still have to be open.
I know.
When, you know, when they against a questionable defense.
I know. On the phone, we have Mike from BU. Mike, how you doing?
How you guys doing?
Good.
First off, want to apologize to you guys. I did come out last week and say that this was going to be an easy game, and definitely wasn't. And it's really, really disappointing. And I just want to bring up 2 points that I thought were you guys kind of haven't mentioned it yet. First off, Brady's play, I I really think that his, obviously on the first drive, that throw was probably the worst throw I've ever seen him make in his NFL career.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was completely unnecessary.
Three
no
guys
No reason.
There.
They're pounding the ball. No reason to throw that ball. I'm just sitting there. And I unfortunately couldn't go to the game, but I'm sitting there watching it with my friends, and I'm just like, "Are you? Why would you throw that ball? They're walking the ball down the field.
Right.
It's 7-8 yards a clip.
Completely un-Brady-like. Yeah.
Very. And then, obviously, the throw to Watson wasn't a very good throw. And he seemed to be throwing in a lot of 2-3-man coverages where they had the safety playing over, a corner playing under, a linebacker somewhere in the area, too. I don't know.
Because they didn't respect the receivers. They were trying to take Watson out of the game.
Yeah. And Brady just kind of kept forcing the ball, and I just felt like that it's kind of, you guys haven't mentioned it, so I wanted to get that out there, that we can't give Brady a pass on the game.
No.
He set the tone. He set the tone on that first drive. Just a bad decision, and it just kept going on and on, and the pressure keeps mounting, and then obviously Kevin drops the ball.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, let me take you back a couple years. Remember the Ty Law playoff game where he picked off Manning a bunch of times there?
Yeah.
3 times? The Colts' first drive, they're pounding the ball on the ground, getting good yardage. It's 2nd and 2. They throw 2 straight passes into the end zone, and one's picked off by Harrison, and most people thought there that the Colts should have just kept running the football. And I felt like that in this game it was kind of reversed. Like, it was almost that game where the Patriots were running the football well, then all of a sudden they threw one into the end zone. And I'm a guy who never criticizes people for taking chances. I like throwing the ball down the field. But at that point in the game, I thought they were getting so many yards on the ground. Save that for later. You know, save that until Sanders comes up to the line of scrimmage more and, you know, they're bringing guys up. No need to do it right off the bat like that.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly the way that I felt. I just was ripping my hair out the whole game on the overall decision making of the whole team, the coaching staff.
Yeah.
That kind of brings me to the second point, is that they started bringing up Bob Sanders, who is definitely a playmaker. I mean, the way he was launching himself was pretty impressive. But where's the play action pass? I don't know the, obviously I don't know the statistic. I mean, maybe you guys have it, but I might have seen 3 or 4 play-action passes where they just literally, they line up in that 2 tight end set, 2 receivers, Maroney or Dillon in the backfield, you know, give that fake. Bob Sanders uses aggressiveness, he jumps up, and there you go. You got one-on-one coverage on somebody, definite. And then
Well, the interception was a play. The first one was a play-action pass that he threw deep, but that was early in the game.
Yeah, I mean in the second half where they started to, where Sanders started to really be, I would say, overly aggressive. Obviously, he made the plays in the running game because they kind of got cute with it, started doing trap plays and everything where they went away from the off tackle.
Yeah, he was definitely, they definitely used him in the second half more to contain the running game, that's for sure. He was definitely near the line of scrimmage.
Tell Mike what Tony Dungy said about Bob Sanders.
Well, Dungy said that Sanders made 3 tackles on Maroney that would have been touchdowns if he didn't make them. So that's what me and Fred's point was, well, can you imagine if Maroney had touched the ball 10 more times?
Right.
Maybe Bob Sanders doesn't make one of those.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Right. I mean, it just goes to the point of just give the ball to Maroney, you know, and you don't have to pass it. You know, they say about passing, only 3 things can happen in passing when you pass the ball, and 2 of them are bad. You know,
yeah.
When you run the ball, at least, you know, it's a handoff. You don't have to worry
about
it.
Right, this is no indictment on Corey Dillon, who's played well this year, but the bottom line is he's not going 60 yards.
Right.
He's just not going 60 yards. Maroney is a guy who can make people miss in the secondary and take it the distance, and it's time that we start seeing more of him.
Yep.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you guys.
All right, Mike. Oh, go ahead.
I want to thank you guys, and I just really, after the game, I've kind of gotten over it as well. I see that we really have a soft schedule. I want to see them crush the Bears, absolutely demoralize, outplay them physically. That's going to be the only game, that and Jacksonville, obviously, but I think Jacksonville's on a team on the way down, so I don't think that game's going to be
I don't know, with Garrard quarterbacking, they could be a team on the way up.
I don't know.
Play tough at home. They don't lose at home very often.
Well, I hope that they come out. They really have 2 challenges left. I just really want to know where do they go from here? Because I guess the only real proof we're going to have is once they get into the playoffs.
That's
obviously
exactly
they
it.
Like I think where they go from here is establishing Lawrence Maroney as their number one offensive weapon.
And continue to work on the passing game.
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you guys. I hope you have a good day.
Okay.
I'll see you in the week.
You know, Tom, I'm not one of these guys that usually questions play calling. You know, I'm usually the kind of guy like, yeah, all these people who question play calling, if it worked, they wouldn't be complaining.
Right.
You know, and that's usually my – these guys in the sideline know more than I
do. There's no doubt about
it. I just think it was so damn obvious that Lawrence Maroney was a freaking mismatch, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. I just – until they stop him, keep doing it.
Lawrence,
I mean, what was his yards per carry was 4.8.
So he's getting every two carries, he's getting you pretty much a first down.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just baffling. And I'm hoping that they see the same thing once they think about this game.
Yeah, and again, we're not slamming Corey Dillon. It's just that
no. When
he's getting 4 yards, that could have been a touchdown for it's
right.
You know, just like Dungy said, one guy made a difference in three. We don't see that. You know what I mean? They see that on film.
Right.
So the explosiveness of Maroney, especially against a team like this that can't stop the run. Now, when you're playing like the Bears or a more physical team, maybe you want
to
get more Dillon in there.
Now you have to pass the ball.
You want to pass. You want to do things. But this was a game where Maroney could have really set himself apart and had a big game and didn't get
a chance
to do it.
You know, you've hit him so often with your offensive line and your tight ends that by the fourth quarter, their defense is beaten. You know, they're just so tired. Now you can do anything you want.
And they don't like contact in the first quarter. Yeah. So in the fourth quarter, they're not going to want to touch anybody.
All right. Nick in San Diego. Dudes, he says, first, before I say anything else, congratulations, Troy. You're the shining example of what a Patriot is. You deserve to be included in a Patriot Ring of Honor or something like that. If you had told me before the game that we would hold the Colts to 27 points, sack Peyton four times or five. How many times did they sack Peyton?
Four, I think.
I mean, that's also something they haven't done. So, you know, I'm not so down on the defense. Anyway, he says, not counting the 7 to 8 knockdowns, and took the ball away twice, and we still lost. I would have been shocked. Now, I'm a New England fan, and I do hate Manning, but that was the greatest game I've ever seen a quarterback play. There were at least 10 times I thought there is no way he completes that pass, and then some Colts receiver comes down with it. That was one of the worst games I have ever watched. It actually hurt me. On the plus side, I actually thought the defense played pretty well against a tough team to cover. Rosie had a great game. Seymour made a couple plays. Got to go to work. I hope you had a better time than I did.
Who's that?
Nick from San Diego.
Well, Nick, I applaud you for being someone who can at least tip their hat to Peyton Manning. You know, I don't like Peyton Manning. You know that, Fred. I hate the Colts.
Right.
But to sit here and say, I was on Felger's show on Friday, and someone called in and said he's sick of people like me saying that we would take Brady, but Manning's a close second. Come on, no. he said...
Just protocol, Tom.
He said Manning isn't even in the same league as Brady. Now, to actually think that is absolutely mind-boggling to me. I mean, can you imagine thinking that?
No,
It's nice, you know, listen... If you want to say Peyton Manning won't win in the playoffs, then I certainly can't argue that point because he doesn't do it usually in big games. But to say that he is not a great quarterback and not to enjoy watching him versus Brady, you're missing out because, as Paul pointed out last week, Montana and Marino only played three times. Patriot fans get to watch this every year, at least once, sometime twice a year. And when someday, years from now, when the Patriots stink, you know, because it happens to every team, you're going to look back on this and say, boy, remember when Brady and Manning used to duel it out? So at least enjoy it.
Ron in Tennessee, the loud sucking noise that all of Patriot Nation just heard was the sound of home field advantage throughout the playoffs going right out the window. I think it's clear now, even after only 8 games, that this year's road to the Super Bowl goes through Indy and not Foxborough. If I had 2 words to sum up Sunday night's game, they would be missed opportunity. If you told any Pats fan that their team would rush for over 100 yards, sack Manning 3 times, intercept him, force 3 field goals, 2 that automatic Adam would miss, and force a turnover on a kick return, they would have thought automatic win, right? Wrong. Unfortunately, the golden boy Brady lost some of his luster, and he, in that vaunted passing game from last week, fell back to earth hard. Speaking of passing, why on earth this team was trying to be cute and not pound the rock against the league's worst run defense is beyond me. 2 things were crystal clear after that loss. 1, it may be debatable whether Manning or Brady is a better quarterback, but it wasn't last night. Manning was lights out while Tom Terrific was hit or miss, with an emphasis on miss. The high heave to Watson in triple coverage made me want to puke. 2, that after this week in the NFL, anything this team does against any NFC team, including the Bears, is meaningless.
Thank you.
The AFC is so far and away the better conference that this year's Super Bowl will be relegated to an anticlimactic formality following the AFC title game.
Yes, sir.
All of us in Pats Nation believe our team will be in that title game. Unfortunately, it's looking like a road game at Indy.
And just so you know, after they beat Minnesota, one of the Patriots players walking through the tunnel was shouting out, "That's the NFC for you. That's the NFC for you." So even they know. I mean, even they know the NFC is a joke. And, you know, that was Manning. You know, he had a great game. And some people will say that, well, he's got better weapons. But let me point this out to you. His team gives up 150 yards on the ground. They rush for 2 yards a carry. And he still wins on the road.
Yeah.
You know, so you can say he's got better weapons, but the Patriots have a better running game and a better defense. And right now, if you voted for anybody for MVP besides Peyton Manning, then you have a bias and you shouldn't be voting.
Richard, in Northern Ireland, it saddens me to say it, but we were beaten by a better team Sunday night. I don't really want to take anything away from the Colts, but there are just a few things I don't understand on the Patriots side. First, why were the corners consistently lining up 15 to 20 yards from the Colts receivers? I understand that you don't want to get beaten by the big play, but getting beaten for 20-yard chunks at a time isn't much better. I would like to have seen a bit of pressing from the corners to try and disrupt the Colts' timing. Secondly, in the third quarter, I felt the team abandoned the run, which the Colts could not stop. Finally, I think it's time to give Maroney the bulk of the carries. He's our most explosive offensive weapon, and every time Dillon gets the ball and gets a moderate to good gain, I always think, what if Maroney had it there? It could have went all the way.
Right.
Well, I mean, you're right
now,
with
Fred,
us.
Would you agree with me that the 20-3 game where Ty Law didn't play had a lot to do with weather and Peyton Manning just flat-out choking?
Sure.
Okay. Now, other than that, Ty Law has been a big part of stopping the Colts. I think people really forget about that. When you have a corner that has the ability of Ty Law, your other guys can do so many other things to the receivers.
Yeah.
And they haven't had Ty Law since then. And since then, other than the 20-3 game, they haven't stopped the Colts.
Yep. Louie in Tampa Bay, I was so mad at Brady throughout the whole game. But I stopped, thought about it, and it wasn't Brady. It was the people around him. It goes like this. When Manning looks to his left, he has Wayne. When he looks to his right, he has Harrison. When Brady looks to his left, he has who? When he looks to his right, he has who? Do you get the picture? Colts care about Manning, and the Patriots don't. That's wrong. What do you guys think?
I already gave you my opinion on it, so.
Well, I'm not going to go
there. I was
there.
Pretty emphatic about it. Fred, you don't think there's anything to...
I think they wanted Deion Branch, and they couldn't get him.
Right, but still, you have the best quarterback in football, all right? Now, I know he makes average receivers better, but let me give you an example here, okay? They were interested in Javon Walker. A couple of years ago, the Cowboys were interested in Antoine Winfield, but they wanted to let the market settle first. You know what happened? The first night of free agency, Antoine Winfield was on a plane to Minnesota, and they didn't let him leave. So when you want a guy like they were interested in Javon Walker, I think they need to be a little bit more.
When Javon Walker was available, they still had Deion Branch.
I know, but I'm saying they were interested. It's documented
that
they were interested.
Say that the Patriots don't care about their offense and Tom Brady's ridiculous.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what this guy's saying.
But I'm not agreeing with that. I'm saying if you want a guy like a Javon Walker, maybe become a little bit more aggressive
in pursuing.
The question
is, how much did they want him, thinking that they were still going to get Deion Branch? I think if they knew Deion Branch was coming back, they maybe wouldn't have let
him. Yeah, and of course, if you had Deion Branch and Javon Walker, you'd go undefeated.
Well,
you can think of it that way,
maybe,
too.
Maybe, but, you know, you'd have a very high, you know, you just can't pay everybody.
All right,
I just think, you know, they drafted Maroney. They drafted Dave Thomas. They've drafted offensive linemen.
I'm just going to throw something out there for you. Let's say the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl this year or next year. Do they start paying people then? Or do we just go with the same system? Or do we say, well, they won 3 Super Bowls a couple of years ago and their system used to work?
Well, it depends. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the scenario and why they lost, you know. You know, I don't know.
Sometimes you got to change with the times. Ask Bill Parcells. He'll tell you the same thing.
I mean, they do pay players that.
I didn't say they didn't play anybody.
Right.
I didn't say that.
You can't pay everybody.
I know, but I'm just saying at some point you would think if Brady is true, because Michael Silver had another thing out last week where he said Brady is still fuming over Deion Branch. Now, anybody on the inside knows that that's the guy that Brady talks to, so he's not making it up. If you think he is, he's not. So my point is not just to get a good receiver.
Well, maybe Brady should get over it and start focusing on this instead of still fuming over a guy who's not here anymore.
Yeah, but maybe at some point, don't you want to make your best player happy a little bit?
Absolutely.
You know? Now, I'm not saying maybe the Deion Branch thing couldn't get done. They said, Jonathan Kraft said on the Felger show that the next 3 years he'll make more money than any receiver in football. Now, if that's true, you know, great. I understand. You let Deion Branch go. I'm not using that specifically. But this season, this offseason, wouldn't you go out and try to get a solid receiver? Would you?
If there's one available,
if you can get one?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Now, and I should say this. I'm switching a little bit on my Porter and Moss thing because if I played for that team, I'd ask to be traded too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's such a bad situation. That reminds me of Corey Dillon when he was just sick of,
right.
You know, losing like that.
Yeah.
That team.
I don't blame those guys.
Why would you want to be around a team that has, it doesn't even have an offensive system?
You have to smell that cologne from Al Davis. TG and NJ says the Colts, quote, he said, the Colts were who we thought they were. We played them last year in the regular season. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. The Colts were who we thought they were, and we turned. Oh, okay. He wanted me to be
Denny Green.
Denny Green.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I'm not ready to crown them.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Patriots didn't have the type of lead that the Cardinals had over the Bears in that game. Nick in San Diego again. The Colts player that caught Tom's first interception in the end zone was kicked by Gabriel as he ran by. The drive should have started on the 30, on the 20, not the 27. How many yards past the 20 before Bill challenges that play? Did Bill Polian behave? Well, Bill didn't come up to the press box.
That's thank God for that. We didn't have to hear him celebrating all game.
Yeah.
He must have listened about the getting bit in the face thing.
Speaking of the Colts front office, it seems to me that Dungy is one of the most overrated coaches in the league. Tom Moore's offense is the same as it was before Dungy got there, and the defense, Dungy's specialty, still sucks. Shouldn't 5 years be enough to make any defense decent? Does anyone else feel bad for Bill Walsh when you see those Coors Light commercials? I think it's, you know.
Yeah, I will kind of agree with the Dungy thing. If he's a defensive guy, maybe they don't put a lot of money into the defense.
Well, that's the thing,
no, yeah, but Fred, my point is that should it be just as bad now as it was when he first got there?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Shouldn't it be get a little bit better,
yeah.
Even if it's ranked like 15th or 16th? Because if they have the
they're too busy making Peyton Manning happy.
Well, they're 8-0.
I know. That's true.
You better hope.
Yeah,
listen,
but are they built to win a Super Bowl?
I don't know that. But
and like you said, if you can't run and can't stop the
right.
run, the answer is no.
And but the point is people around here like us better hope that they don't, because if they do,
we got
no more argument.
I know. It's over. It's over. All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
You can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver, face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed in helmet, limited to your first 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Let's go! Let's jump!
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck.
Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, Fred and Tom, Gary in the booth, and Lori's here, right? Lori's in the booth, too? Wow. She's going to be pushing the buttons in the second half because Gary has a meeting.
She's hot, too.
So webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Reverend Ray writes in, well, at least we got the best possible game out of Vinatieri, and we still blew it. There is a lot to say about what went wrong, drop balls, questionable play calling, etc. But I think that it's important to keep the game in perspective. Yes, it was a big game, a big test, but I think the consequences feel bigger because it was the Colts. I hate them, but it's one game. If we were to play them again in the playoffs, I still like our chances, though it's now likely to be in Indy if it happens. I guess the question I'd ask is, do you think any weaknesses were exposed, or was this more a combination of Indy being the best team in the league and we played crappily? Also, compare and contrast Ben Watson versus Jeremy Stevens, both talented guys who can look great and drop sure touchdowns. And any word on Rodney?
Well, I'd have to disagree because I think Stevens sucks.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the most overrated players in the history of pro football. The guy drops like one to every three passes thrown his way. I got to be honest with you, as much as we don't like Joey Porter, he was right when he called him soft.
Yeah.
So I think Watson is a much better player. I do agree it's similar in the way that they kind of drop passes every now and again, but I think Stevens drops way more easy passes than Watson does.
Except for that Minnesota game, you know, Watson hasn't really dropped a lot of passes that were catchable balls.
Right. Stevens drops a lot, yeah, that are right in his gut.
Right, right. Also, he says, weaknesses do you think were exposed Sunday night?
On
the Patriots. Do you think the Patriots got exposed?
I think their secondary did.
Yeah.
I think we looked.
Yeah, but everybody gets exposed against the Colts.
Well, let me ask you something, Fred. How did Javon Walker do against them?
Oh, well, he had a good night.
Well,
they only scored 17 points total.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. They won.
And Javon Walker, but it wasn't the defense's fault.
It was, well, he had two big plays against the secondary.
Okay.
That's their fault.
But I understand, but that game was lost because the Broncos defense just, you know, manhandled the Patriots.
Cotchery and Coles, they both go over 100 yards against the Patriots.
Yeah, but those were fluke. That was a fluke.
All right, everything's a fluke.
That was a fluke.
So the 4-9 record against the good teams, I guess that's just a fluke.
It's not the defense's fault against the Broncos. That was the offense. Couldn't do anything.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you asked if something was exposed, and we keep wondering if this secondary can hold up against the better receivers in the league, okay? Cincinnati can't throw the ball against anybody for some reason. They did play good there, I'll give them that. But Javon Walker exposed them. Reggie Wayne exposed them. Marvin Harrison exposed them. I don't know who you think you're going to meet in the playoffs, Fred, but those are the guys that are going, not Lee Evans and Peerless Price.
Let's see. Mike writes in. He's in southern Vermont. He says, while it was a disappointment to see the five turnovers and a Patriots loss to the dreaded Colts, there is a silver lining. We played that bad and still were in a position to tie the game. Also, this is only game number 8, and I am confident we will be playing better by game number 17 and beyond. It was obvious that there is still more work to be done with Tom Brady and his receivers. Speaking of receivers, have you noticed that Chad Jackson has been open in the replays of several passes Brady has made to other receivers? Do you agree? Or is it an optical illusion from my vantage point seeing the game on television? Is Brady not throwing to him a sign that he doesn't have confidence in him? Don't you think we outsmarted ourselves by passing too much? Well, I definitely agree with that last statement.
I don't think Chad Jackson is open very often. I don't think he's on the field very often. And let's be honest, if you want to say the Patriots played poorly, the Colts didn't play all that great either. I mean, they did not play great. That wasn't one of their better games. I know it was exciting because of the score and how it ended, but it really was a sloppy game on both sides of the ball for being such a big game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I don't know. Yeah. It seems like since I've been here last year, every time the Patriots play a good team or in a big game, we're sitting here making excuses for them. I'm sick and tired of doing it.
Bob in Shenzhen, China writes in, the only game the Pats have disappointed me in was the Denver game. I know I shouldn't be thinking far ahead, but I absolutely think we need a shutdown corner in this draft. What do you guys think? I think it'd be nice.
Yeah.
I think a shutdown corner anyway you can get him is
well,
nice.
The problem is that, you know, if you had someone, it's hard to say because Hobbs is still young. You know, he hasn't played a lot. But if you had someone equal to Samuel, I think they could do a lot more things on defense. Samuel's playing well, but you kind of got him, and then you got, like, a bunch of other guys. You know what I mean? And you're trying to put this hodgepodge together at the defensive back position. So I think that hurts them.
What you got there? Paul's down here.
They're steak tips, but I'm not going to have them. I changed my mind.
Well, put them in the microwave. Sure.
Right. Yeah. I can hook you up.
Are you down here to be on the show or just to eat?
No, to be on the show.
Okay. Paul will join us soon, as he's had his fill. Ooh. Okay. Yeah, put him in the microwave. Medium rare, please. Webradio@patriots.com is email. You hungry, Tom?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not hungry.
You don't eat?
I don't eat.
You should eat. It's not good for you not to eat.
Yeah. I'll eat when I go home.
You going to wait all day and then eat?
I ate. I had a shake and a protein bar.
That's it?
Yeah. Are we going to go through this again?
You can't live on that.
We do this. Didn't we do this last week, last Friday?
I know. I'm worried about you.
But when I go
if
back,
you're not eating well, you can't work well.
When I go back upstairs, I'll have a granola bar.
A gerbil?
To be honest with you, I don't have that much to do today, so you don't have to worry about me.
You got to vote. You going to vote?
I'm not registered in Massachusetts.
You're not?
Vote.
Did you vote by proxy? Absentee ballot in New York?
Why the hell would I care what's going on in New York? I don't live there anymore.
That's true. This isn't a president. So why aren't you registered to vote?
Because I have to register, but I'll be registered in time to vote for next time in the presidency.
That's 2 years from now.
Yeah, so I got 2 years.
I would hope so. Paul, you going to vote?
You never know, Fred. I got a job.
You're not going to vote? Is this another one of your rules? Oh,
Fred, you never know. I got job offers coming in. I could be in Wyoming tomorrow. Who knows?
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to vote.
I know who you're voting for.
Who?
When the light's on, it's on.
Oh, Patrick.
Maybe. It's a you know, Australian ballot in the United States. Yeah. I don't need to say anything. You know. All right, let's get back to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number's 508-543-7482. Sean writes in, 2 days have gone by, and I'm still trying to figure out how Tony Dungy outcoached Bill Belichick. I don't know if Belichick was blinded by that red hoodie, that he was panicked by the sight of the Colts for the second straight year. He really has not been called out in his time in New England, but more coaching outings like this one I saw on Sunday, people will be criticizing him more and more. I know Brady had a rare game, and with all the mistakes in offense, defense, and special teams, we only lost by 7. But let's get a dose of reality. If Rodney Harrison is out for the season, which I have a bad feeling he is, you could cancel those Miami reservations. There will be no bye. We may win a home playoff game, but a trip to Denver could be our last game once again this year. And after last week, where we feel we were back, it just goes to show what a difference a week makes. Now that was the realist Pats fans look, let's look through that Fred rose-colored glasses. We will plug someone else in Rodney's place. Hope San Diego, Denver, and Baltimore falter. We win our next 7 out of 10, which I will say will be at Jacksonville, and return as a second seed and a trip to Indy for AFC title game. But no Rodney, in my opinion, no ring. Okay?
He just say 7 out of the next 10?
Next 8.
Oh.
Okay. I might have said 10.
Yeah, you said 10.
Yeah, 7.
It's like they only have 8 games left.
Yeah.
They're going to lose at Jacksonville 13-3. That's what. Who's that? Sean?
Sean McLaughlin. But that goes to Tom's point that they're losing against the better teams. And that's not good for the playoffs.
No. I mean, there's no way you can sugarcoat that. They haven't performed very well against what I would consider, at least middle of the road to above teams over the past 2 years now. You know, and I'll even give them wins over teams like Cincinnati, who right now, looks average at best at 4-4. I'll consider that a good win against a talented team, but even the wins against those teams seem less impressive today than they did when they won the games. You know, Minnesota lost to San Francisco.
Right. Now, with hindsight, we know that they're not that good.
I mentioned to Fred, if you take...
As predicted, by the way, by Tom.
Well, I just thought that Minnesota team stunk. That was a pure reactionary pick, and I didn't care.
No, that's why I make sure I pick Minnesota, because I know how you are, you hothead.
But I said to Fred, and this is concerning, that if you look at the three top teams in the AFC, the Colts, Denver, and the Chargers, the Patriots are 0-6 the last 2 years against those three teams, and that's not a good sign moving forward.
PJ writes in, I traveled up for the game this weekend, and I have a lot to talk about, so I'll break it up through the week. About the game, I can't understand why we didn't run the ball more. Maroney was averaging about 5 or 6 yards a carry in the first half, and Dillon picked up close to that as well. In the second half, the running game was almost non-existent. I don't want to hear that we were down because we were never down by more than 10, and there was plenty of opportunity to run. The positive that came out of the game for me was that if and when the Pats meet the Colts again, there will be some differences no matter where they play. One, Brady will not throw 4 picks, I guarantee that. 2, the special teams won't allow the Colts to get to the 45-yard line on every return.
3, how do you know?
The Pats will establish the run more and continue to use it. On the negative, I guess Adam won't miss 2 field goals as well. Anyway, it was a weird feeling coming out of the stadium because I felt like the score could have been a lot worse, but at the same time, I felt like the Pats brought their C game and hung with the Colts. They made a ton of mistakes and had a lot of bad breaks, and they still had a chance to tie the game in the last minute. Oh, well, I do know one thing, Fred. We went to Quincy Market, and it was awesome. Chowder in a bread bowl, what a concept. By the way, did Polian happen to slap Tom? If he did, ask Tom how Polian's face tasted. Actually, Bill Polian did not come up to the press box for the
there.
Game.
And if the Patriots played their C game, the Colts played their C-plus game.
Yeah, I would say the Patriots played their F game, and the Colts played like a C-minus. I mean, I really think that both teams didn't play very well in that game. The Colts won because their best player played pretty well, and the
right.
Patriots' best player didn't.
Right.
That's why they won.
That's a good way to put it.
Overall, I mean, you want to talk about mistakes. The Colts, all right. The Patriots turned the ball over 5 times. The Colts turned it over twice, okay?
Missed 2 field goals.
But they also missed 2 field goals to the Patriots 1. So that cuts, and those are like turnovers, missed field goals.
Didn't score
so
in
it's
the
like
red
6
zone.
And 4.
Right.
Manning threw an interception in the red zone. Everybody just assumes that's going to happen again. But Brady won't throw any interceptions the next time they play. I mean, Manning had two interceptions all year. He threw one against the Patriots. That was...
And they sacked Manning
3 times.
Which they rarely do. They usually don't get to him.
They didn't run at all. The Colts weren't able to run the ball. I thought the Patriots' defense at times played really, really well. It's just that offense is really good. It's hard to just shut it down.
Let's see. Who is this? This is Salt from Orlando. What's his name? Salt.
Okay.
I listened to the podcast but have missed a couple, so if what I go over has already been said, my bad. After watching the Colts game, I came to a couple of conclusions. I'll ask in advance, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we are doomed or whatever. We could have easily on that game something, but gave it up to the Colts. I have a couple things that maybe you can comment on and maybe give me another perspective. 1, when did Josh McDaniels turn into Charlie Weiss? I don't agree with a lot of what Manning says during a broadcast, but he hit the nail on the head when he was talking about the Pats were doing a lot of things Weiss did instead of keeping with what worked earlier in the game. Now all of a sudden Weiss is no good. That's good. Yeah. No, I agree. I turned to Tom at one point when all these people were running around in the Patriots backfield and Brady still had the ball. And I said, they don't need to do this. You know, what's the matter?
My battery went out.
Your battery went out?
So you need stinking Gary.
Why don't you grab those headphones right there?
I don't think those work either. He took the battery out of them.
Oh, really? Oh, so Tom doesn't have headphones.
Unless he put them back in. I don't know what he's doing.
We got a technical problem here. Lori's coming in with some batteries. Boy, this is great radio. All right, let me get to number two here. We need to have a good draft in April. Our defense has no playmakers, it seems. One interception by Chad Scott. We need to draft or sign a quarterback who can hold down one side of the field. You guys keep saying Samuel is a legit starting cornerback, but he didn't show me the other night. We need a linebacker to get in the faces of the receivers and running backs and make them pay for a big gain. Well, you know, I can't disagree.
Yeah, but this guy is really slamming Samuel. He's there because they don't, I mean, I don't think he's really a number one type. Well, I think he's a good, solid corner.
I think
corner.
He's slamming us more. But I think he's right. I mean, Tom, you said it earlier. The times that they've had success against Manning is when Ty Law was out
right.
there, and he's what you would call a shutdown corner who could control one half of the field. Those guys are rare, though, in the NFL.
No,
there might
right.
be five
yeah,
guys
right.
in the NFL that can do that. So,
but we always hear how Belichick is, you know. Paul, would you agree that other than the 20-3 game where Manning choked in the weather, Ty Law was a big part of shutting him down when they, you know, when they had success against him, and they still didn't have all that much success when he was there.
I still maintain, and this is basically what my post-game analysis was all about, the two games that they really shut down Peyton Manning were the two playoff games, and they were in January in the wind and snow in Foxborough, and I think that, in hindsight now, had as much to do with it as anything else, because all of the other games, whether they were played in Foxborough or in Indy, Manning is reasonably too highly productive against the Patriots.
Right.
You know, and, you know, with very few exceptions. And you can say all the stuff about Belichick, and I do think there's an element that Manning gets a little bit rattled against Belichick. There's a lot of mental aspect to the game that comes into it, and I think that we saw it even at times Sunday night. I thought there were some times that the pressure was getting to him. He looked like he was ready to have that face, mm-hmm. you know, the Peyton Manning face that comes out of nowhere and whatnot. You know, I think that there's something to that, but when the weather is normal, you know, just for example, okay, maybe one of the most important plays of the game was the very first pass that he completed, the third down pass that he gets flushed out of the pocket, rolls out,
play.
And throws a bomb to Marvin Harrison. Well, there's no way that pass can be completed in January.
No way.
You can't. That pass can't happen in January. There's no way he's throwing it 44 yards downfield in the wind and snow.
Salt goes on to say, someone on the PFW staff said before the Vikings game that we should throw a little extra Samuel's way to make him stay. I think that was me. I don't believe he is worth a $10 million signing bonus with the performance the other night, as I said earlier.
So who do you want your corners to be? Ellis, Hobbs, and who?
We're just so reactionary, I think. And I don't blame the fans. I'm a reactionary guy, too. And when I was a fan, I was the same way. But they came off that Minnesota game, and I just wrote this in an SPFW that I haven't posted yet, but... You know, the biggest question after that Minnesota game, Fred, was what kind of sunblock should we get from Miami? Now all of a sudden, you know, Marvin Harrison, who I don't know, you might have heard, he's a pretty good receiver. He has his way with Asante Samuel, and forget about giving a little extra money his way. What you said I don't think was out of the realm of possibility. They might look at Asante Samuel and say, he's a guy that we have in our system for 4 years.
Right.
Is he Champ Bailey? God, no.
Right.
God, no.
No.
But he might be a guy that might be worth a little bit extra for the Patriots to keep rather than, as Tom was about to point out, continuing to bring in new guys and hope that they fit in. Ellis Hobbs looks like he's fitting in. He looks like a decent little player, okay? But not all of the defensive backs that they've drafted over the past couple of years have worked out the same way.
Yep.
It's not easy. Everybody just thinks you just plug this guy here, plug that guy in there.
And so now we're not paying for Samuel.
I think we're reactionary.
Graham's probably going to leave. So once again, who do you want us to? Who do you want him to sign? Seriously, if you don't want him to keep Samuel, then who?
But the thing that I get irritated with is after Minnesota, everybody would have said, yeah, you know, Asante Samuel, yeah, I'll take him. You know, he's part of defense that's suffocating. We haven't allowed a touchdown in, you know, 18 quarters or whatever, or what, 10 quarters. You know, Asante Samuel, yeah, we'll keep. But then all of a sudden the Colts, who I don't, you may have heard, have a pretty good offense. They put 27 on the board, and I feel the defense played pretty well.
We know a lot of those intermediate passes, maybe the linebackers were screwing up. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I just think it's, you know, everybody, we got some SPFWs asking why they didn't press the receivers a little bit more at the line of scrimmage. Well, you know, it's not that easy.
Especially when you don't have Ty Law on the field and Rodney Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think people are also,
when they used to do that.
The Harrison thing, I think people are just glossing over. You know, they didn't really blitz that much. They didn't play press coverage. Well, they didn't have a key part of the secondary. You think that maybe affected some of the things that they did?
Yeah.
And it seemed like when they used to go up and chip them more, it was when they had Law and Harrison there to do that kind of thing, and then they passed them on.
Right.
And they, you know, if you don't have either one, those are two not good players, great players. If you take them out of the scheme, I don't care what system you're running, it's not as good without Ty Law and Rodney Harrison in it.
Four, what happened to special teams? I've been thinking this the past few weeks. I'm under the assumption that we have the same special teams coordinator since 01. That's true, Brad Seeley. So why has there been a drop-off of big plays? They say Maroney has the best average in the league, but no TDs in the punt return or kick return in the last 2 years. What gives? Lack of personnel or something else?
So big plays are only touchdowns?
Yeah, this guy's complaining about
Maroney. He made 74 yards and 77 yards in two consecutive games. They weren't touchdowns, so I guess they're no big plays.
See, that's where I'll disagree. I think the kick return is as good as it ever has.
Yeah.
Kick coverage now.
Coverage on Sunday night was a problem.
Right.
Period. End of story. It was a big-time problem. Terrence Wilkins looked like Mike Nelms,
as Belichick
talked about.
The one where he started going across the field, if he was like Justin Miller who had more speed, he's gone. He had the whole field wide open. He didn't have the speed to get there, or it would have been a touchdown.
And I thought the kick returns, I thought, quite frankly, were pretty bad all year until he broke that 74-yarder against Buffalo. But since then now, including Sunday night, I think the kick return has been a key part of the offense.
Yep.
That's three games in a row now, because I thought even though there was no big plays, you know, I thought every time, like Tom said, they were up over the 40.
Let's look at special teams. I think Josh Miller's doing okay. He's doing fine. Punt coverage is doing okay.
Punt coverage has been outstanding.
Yeah. Kickoffs, people were saying that Gostkowski was getting a little short as the game was going on. I think he's been fine in kickoffs. Kickoff coverage has been a problem. Field goals, hey, I can't ask for more than what he's been doing so far, rookie kicker. He's been doing okay. And the kick return, I think, is fine. So all in all, I think special teams has been a plus for this team, with the exception of kickoff coverage. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I think kickoff coverage really was only the problem. I mean,
yeah,
maybe an individual return here. I think Terrence McGee had a long one in one of the Buffalo games. Individually, here or there, there's a problem. But I think for the most part on the season, the kickoff coverage has been pretty good, except for Sunday night.
James, the iPod guy, writes.
Hey, James.
He says, Tom, you're the man. I cleaned up this weekend. You went 7-1-1. You should start charging.
Why are you
people
picking that many games?
Hey,
you just email with him now individually?
Yeah.
I think found your calling in life. Thanks again. I'm way up now. One question. Sirius NFL Radio announced today that it is the last day to charge any signing bonuses to this year's cap. Any word on if the Pats have done so? No.
I haven't.
We haven't heard anything yet.
But who knows?
But I guess
usually the Patriots don't announce extensions, so they
might. No, but it will come out.
It will come out,
right?
But you don't get it right away,
right?
Right. But we know that Seymour had part of his bonus put on the cap, and we know that Copen had part of his extension. Some of that was put on the 2006 cap, so some of that money is already used. They don't have. I know that the common phrase is ten plus million in salary cap money. They don't have that much.
No.
No.
Not anymore.
Not according to Jonathan Kraft.
Okay. Let's see. Russell from the OC says, friends, Romans, Patriots fans, I enjoy and respect your perspective on things because you shoot pretty straight. So your thoughts on these. On Brady's fourth down sneak, I can't say if he got it for sure or not, but I do know that he was closer to the first down than Roethlisberger was to a touchdown in last year's Super Bowl.
No, not a chance.
He didn't get that.
Not even close.
He didn't get that first.
No, I mean, we looked at it and we were looking at the yellow line, and if
that's the only qualifier that I'll throw out there is sometimes that computer yellow line is not right.
That's what we're going by. And if that
yellow line is right,
no way.
And, not even within a yard.
And if the whistle blew where his first forward progress stopped, he wasn't even close.
Right, right.
I mean, there was some movement after that. But again, it comes down to where the whistle was.
It looked like we can't hear the sound. Yeah. But it looked like the refs were running in.
Started to run in.
One of them was pointing to a spot on the ground as Brady was still kind of twisting and writhing for extra yards. Look, I mean, he didn't get the first down.
The Colts O-line holds more blatantly than Denver, but the refs allow it.
They want the Colts to win.
Jeff Saturday actually tackled Wolfork on one of the long passes to Harrison. Hands of Stone Caldwell can't run routes or catch. Let's hope for his release at season's end. Ben Watson should be made to catch 100 passes a day, every day after practice from the machine, so he might hang on to more than one out of every four. Can one honestly have confidence the Pats can make a legitimate run for the championship? They've been beaten soundly by two of their main rivals in the AFC. Any defense that is half decent this year seems to rattle them. I would say they need a better offensive coordinator, but then we'd be forced to hear that Brady isn't used to him. This loss sucks because a jerk like Polian gets to gloat, knowing deep down he's manipulated the league to favor the Colts, who the powers that be in the NFL already are enamored with. I like it.
I should say, though, that Polian was gloating.
Was he?
Was he on the radio this morning?
No,
was he?
He was outside the locker room on a TV. That, you know, they were shooting him, like, you know how they do that outside the locker rooms?
Yeah.
And he had the biggest smile on his face you'd ever want to see. And I heard him talking about, like, two in a row that they've won here. And he was going on and on.
I love the conspiracy theories, though. They want them to win.
Well, it's true. Peyton Manning gets favored.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what, Fred? I'll go this far. I'll say behind closed doors, the league does want Peyton Manning to win a Super Bowl, but you know what? I don't think the refs are cheating for it to happen. How about that?
No, there's no way.
I think the league would like to see the Colts in the Super Bowl because they'd get huge ratings and, it'd be
a huge storyline.
Right.
You know, as great as Brady is, he's done it three times.
Right.
You know, it's probably better for the league.
Absolutely.
To have more teams win it. You know, like a lot of people criticize baseball, and what are we going on? What, eight? Now, eight different champions in 8 years, seven different champions in 7 years, something like that. And that's supposed to be the sport that has no parity. You know, football's
the
opposite.
Has parity. Football has, everybody sucks.
Football has repeat winners all the time.
But this is the league's list of storylines. One, Patriots, Cowboys in the Super Bowl, because that's their dream. Parcells versus Belichick. I mean, you can't get enough of that. But two is Colts in the Super Bowl.
Colts and Cowboys.
Colts and Cowboys. With Parcells, right. And that ain't going to happen, so they can scratch all the ones with the Cowboys off the list.
Jeff from Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. Do you think the Pats can rebound from the disappointing loss and beat the Jets this Sunday? I think a big factor could be which Jets team shows up, the one that got blown out by Jacksonville or the one that almost beat Indy. I went to my first Pats game on New Year's Day, lost to the Dolphins, and I'm hoping to experience a Pats win.
Oh, can you say piss on the air?
Piss?
I guess so.
Well, I think they're going to beat the piss out of the Jets there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be mad.
Did you see the email that got mad at us for picking the Patriots?
Yeah, we can't pick the Patriots anymore.
Well, I mean, I was telling Tom, Paul, I would have rather the Patriots beat the Colts and lose to the Jets and throw up a bad game to the Jets.
You know what? I think I agree with you.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, because
I do.
Then we could, you know, they didn't play well. But when you play the best team in the league, there's no excuse for not playing your A game.
Yeah, I think it was somewhat important because that mental thing that we were talking about with Manning. The more you beat him, the harder it is for him to overcome that. Yeah. Now it's just
it's
getting closer.
Twice in a row at home.
It's getting closer to being just another game now.
Yeah.
It's like Dwight Freeney said to me after the game, pretty soon, or if we play him again, why don't you guys ask the Patriots,
how come they never beat the Colts?
That's right.
And he's right. You know, and I'm sure it was a little tongue-in-cheek when he was
saying he was kidding around.
But, you know, like I said, the next time that they play, it's closer to just another game for Manning.
Speaking of Freeney, what's happened to him?
I thought he played a pretty good game the other night. I got to be honest with
you.
He didn't, show up a lot in the stats, but.
Well, Paul knows I think he's fat and slow.
Yeah, well, about two plays before Tom deemed him fat and slow, he came blistering off the left edge and nailed Brady as he threw that screen pass that ended up going incomplete and just absolutely.
Well, he should have had a sack. For some reason,
he
touched Brady like
I don't know
was
what
a girl.
He did.
And
that was one of those because of the rules that
he probably didn't know what to do.
Brady kind of pumped.
Knee, I can't hit his head.
Yeah, and I think he probably thought that Brady had thrown the ball, and he just put two hands in Brady's chest, and then he pulled back, and then all of a sudden Brady rolled away from him,
and then Fatso couldn't catch him.
That was a big completion. That was a big pass. That was late in the first half.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, it got wiped out because the next play Brady forced the ball into triple coverage, and into Watson, and it got picked off. But that was a big third down conversion.
Alex writes in, "What's your explanation on why a team commits 5 turnovers and only loses by a touchdown? Did the Colts really beat the Patriots, or did the Patriots beat themselves?"
They got beaten. The Colts were the better team that
night. The explanation
night.
Of it only being a touchdown is that the Colts had plenty of turnovers and penalties themselves.
Yeah.
It was a comedy of errors. Both teams played poorly. The Patriots just played worse.
Let me ask you, Paul, I haven't been here as long. The Patriots ever win any games where they get 5 turnovers and... I mean, were they?
Where it's close and they have a +3 turnover margin.
Yeah, did they ever win any of that?
Yeah, but that's because of their superior defense that they force those turnovers. Am I right, Fred?
That's correct.
I mean, that's basically what it is. When we go to Denver last year and we lose in the playoffs, we handed the game to Denver. But when Indy comes here and turns the ball over 5 times,
Well, let's go to
we beat up Peyton Manning.
Let's go to the horse's mouth. Fred, do you think that the Colts outplayed the Patriots?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think that's about as clear as you can get when Fred's saying it.
Louis says, one question to Tom. You said Friday that this would be the calm before the storm. Really? What's the weather forecast for this Sunday, Mr. Casale? Somebody calling you out.
I don't really understand the question.
Did you say the calm, that the Patriots would beat the Colts?
I said it'd be 38-34. I thought it'd be a high-scoring game and that the Patriots would win because they wouldn't be able to stop their running game. Now, if you want to ask Belichick why they stopped handing the ball off to Maroney, I'll give you an answer. How about that?
What did you mean, calm before the storm?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
If he can email in and give me more of that. I say a lot of stupid things that I don't really remember, so you're going to have to be more specific if you're going to call me out on something stupid I said.
And even with the 7 turnovers, if the field goal kickers make their kicks, it's 33-23. Right? Even with 7 turnovers. And some of those came in the red zone. 2 of the Patriots came in the red zone, and one of the Colts did. So your prediction on final score was pretty close.
I don't know. Calm before the storm. I don't know. I have to be more specific, and I'll give you an answer why I was wrong.
Alejandro says the Cowboys won 3 Super Bowls in a 4-year span. My question is, how were the non-Super Bowl winning years? What kind of season did they have back then?
They got knocked out in the NFC Championship game, the one game that they lost, right?
They lost to San Francisco. The following year, they lost at Carolina, and they were never the same since. Then they lost to the Cardinals at home, and the Cardinals had their first. That's kind of a different thing because, first of all, the guy, the Belichick, Jimmy Johnson, was already gone. Right. Barry Switzer just got flat out lucky, and they have an absolutely terrible owner who has to stick his nose into everything. So comparing those two teams isn't necessarily
even the 3 out of 4 thing, it was a win. Was it a win and a loss and 2 wins? Or was it
a win-win-loss-win?
Right. So they won the 2, and then they lost in the NFC title game at San Francisco in a game that they fell. It's funny because Tom and I were talking about this game this morning. They fell way behind early and made a comeback and got back in the game and ultimately fell short. It was like a 38-28 kind of a game or something like that.
Yeah, it was 34-24, I believe. Or maybe it was 38-28. And I know they were, with 11 minutes to go in the first quarter, it was 21-0 San Francisco.
All right, Laurie, can we take a break? Okay, let's do that. We'll be right back.
Watson has become a standout for the 3-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
You can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet.
comes complete with a chin strap, receiver, face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too.
Hey, sweetie. When I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Let's go! Let's jump right in! Come on, baby, let's go!
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Hey, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Fred, Paul, and Tom just kind of whittling away the minutes until John Rook comes at you at 2 o'clock with Patriots Playbook. But, you know, we've had a lot of different views on this game and what the game means in terms of the overall season, what it means in terms of just the Patriots play and their rivalry with the Colts. But I think at this time, unless you're just completely in denial, you have to admit right now the Colts are a better team than the New England Patriots and have been a better team over the last two seasons. I think no matter what, you can't come up with any other conclusion right now. Now, you know, if they play in the playoffs, does that mean the Patriots automatically lose? Hell no.
Right. It's just like, you know, I agree with you, Fred. It's because it's just like when the Patriots were winning and we all would sit here and we would get email after email saying how great the Patriots were and how they had no chance to lose. And the four of us, I mean, at the time, Brian was here instead of Tom, but we would all say, well, yeah, I think the Patriots are going to win, but don't say like Tennessee can't come in here, for example, and, right, and win. I mean, there's good teams. I think it's the same thing right now. I think you're right. Everything you just said coming out of the break is absolutely accurate. I think right now, Indy's probably playing better football than the Patriots. If they're playing tomorrow, do I think the Patriots can't win? God, no. I think they could definitely win.
Right.
But it is a little different now that instead of that mental edge that you had over the Colts, you've kind of lost that. And you may have that mental stumbling block going into a game against Denver because of your lack of success against the Broncos. So it's a little bit different. Again, that doesn't mean if they're playing tomorrow for the AFC Championship game that you, no matter where it is, that you're going to say they can't win. But, yeah, I think things have changed a little bit.
Absolutely. What was I going to mention?
I was just very impressed with your opening monologue, Fred, and I wanted to come in and tell you that.
Did you like that?
I just thought it was well put.
Okay, good.
And surprising coming out of your mouth.
Well, you know.
He said the Colts were, unless you're in complete denial, the Colts are a better team right now.
They are.
And have been over the last 2 years.
Yep.
you know. But we'll see. I'm you know me. I think the Patriots will not be the same team at the end of the season that they are right
now. That's absolutely true, and the Colts probably won't be as good as they are right now because they rarely are.
So that's why I was able to get over this game as quickly as I did.
In my opinion, and Andy Hart totally disagrees with me, but the nightmare matchup for the Patriots is the San Diego Chargers. Because they can play great defense and suffocate you that way. They have a great running back. They have a great tight end that can get down the field. And for me, that's the one team I think that if we're talking about a team that other than the Colts or Denver that can really come in here and hurt the Patriots, it's if Merriman's on the field, that San Diego team I think is going to be tough to beat.
Especially with Rodney. If Rodney's out,
yeah,
you know, with Gates, he could be a much bigger problem without Rodney. And Tom and I were kind of talking about it, and it's funny because they're tied with Denver, but everybody just assumes Denver's the AFC West champ. They haven't played yet. The Chargers and Broncos haven't played yet, and everybody just kind of assumes, well, Denver, that'll be tough to have to – well, Chargers could very well be in contention for that bye just as much as Denver is. But let's just say for argument's sake that San Diego ends up being a wild card team, and they have to come here. Let's say the Patriots are 3 or 4 like they were last year, and they have to host a game in that wild card weekend.
Right.
That might be the perfect scenario for San Diego because finally Marty would be in a situation where he's not supposed to win.
Yeah.
If I'm going into New England, I don't have that playoff pressure hanging over me because everybody expects us to lose anyway. Right. You know, maybe it wouldn't be such a pressure cooker.
And they'll lose the next week.
Right.
But
I told you last week I hit a buck.
Yeah.
A big, huge buck. And
the Spartan Jeep is no more.
No, well, they're saying that it's fixable.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, right. But I had to rent a car, so what do you think I rented?
I know what you rented.
What did I rent?
You rented a Ford Bronco.
No, it's a I rented a Ram Dodge.
Well, is there a difference?
Pickup truck, you know, with the four-door cabin and all that.
Like an idiot either way, so.
You got a pickup truck?
I'll never have a pickup truck, so I figured I might as well have a little fun, so I rented one.
I figured you went out to Denver and got something from John Elway Chevrolet or whatever.
Yeah.
What is it?
He owns all kinds.
You know how I hate people who ride motorcycles?
Yeah.
Unless you use the pickup truck, like you use the back of it a lot.
Right.
Anyone who drives one, like for instance a female,
right,
I can't stand.
No. I'm gonna put a gun rack.
Lori very upset at Tom for that comment.
But I have so I'm driving around.
I would never date a girl who drives a pickup truck. I don't care how hot she is.
Really?
It bothers me that much.
Okay. But this thing is huge.
I don't even like girls in
SUVs. It's a monster. This truck is a monster.
I hate those things.
Yeah, I just figured I'd have a little fun.
How do you park it?
But now they're saying it's about $3,600 worth of damage on the car.
So you're going to fix it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to. What else can I do?
Get a new car. You're already going to get a new car, weren't you?
Well, after
But you needed to trade it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, after I fix it, maybe I'll trade it in and get a new car. So, but then I brought it over to the, what? Is the butt? No. No. The butt's not okay.
Is the buck no longer with us?
I felt bad for it, Lori. Yeah, I mean, I mean, it crawled off to the side, but I broke at least one of its legs, and it was in bad shape. It was a big, big animal.
Too. Did it go off into the woods or anything?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I felt bad.
So are you relatively sure it's no longer with us at this stage?
No, it could be suffering out there for all I know.
Oh.
With all its babies around it saying, Daddy, what's wrong with you?
He's all heart, ladies and gentlemen. Fred Kirsch.
In other words, it could be like Will after an overnight. Daddy, up! Daddy, up!
Now, I need, you know, I'm watching a little soccer on the TV. I got to give a shout out to the Revs going to the championship.
All I want to know is this is my annual question when we get to this stage.
You don't get a ring.
Because we go to the finals every year. Yeah. Do I get a ring if they win?
No, I don't think anyone. I don't even know if they get a ring.
Do I get a bracelet?
They get necklaces.
Paperclip.
I wouldn't care if we got one.
I don't wear my Patriots ring. Do you think I would wear a Revs ring?
No, but I think it's great, and I think they're going to win it this year. Although I was talking to Brad Feldman, who is the play-by-play announcer for the Revs, before we came on air here, and he said the team that they're playing, they haven't beaten in like 14 games or something
great.
Like that.
Oh,
you
great.
Know, it's like the good. One team that they just can't beat.
Oh.
Playing the Broncos.
Who are they playing? I don't know. Who are the Revs playing?
D.C.?
No, they just
beat
them.
D.C.
What's the Dynamo team or Dynamo or whatever that is?
It's not Los Angeles. That's what they played last year.
But anyway, they
did you know that?
Huh?
How did you know that?
I just remembered from being here. God knows I didn't watch a second of it.
I'll watch. Are you kidding me?
T-O-X?
Timeout?
Texas Dynamos.
Texas
Dynamos? Where's the game being played?
Dynamos. I said that.
Yeah. Where's the game being played?
I know it's at a neutral site, right?
I don't know.
Houston. Well,
that's not neutral.
Well, we played here 1 year when we lost. That was a neutral site.
Oh.
Right?
That's true.
A couple years ago, the final was here.
You're right. You're right.
You got emails?
They call me Mr. MLS.
I got a ton of emails.
Okay, get to them.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
The other one that knew they played L.A., I wanted to throw a mic at you for that.
Ken is from West Lafayette, Indiana. And he
Boilermakers.
I was at the game this weekend and even thought the Pats lost. And even though the Pats lost, I thought the game would have looked different based on several factors. One, it was clear that Brady was not on during the game, but I believe when he does his best is when he has a chance to get in a rhythm in the shotgun with a four or five receiver set. So the dilemma is that you want to run the Colts, but maintaining a rhythm to the game that allows Brady to stay focused. I just believe that his touch was off in this game, and he missed a streaking Chad Jackson down the middle for a potential TD during the game, and some of the passes created some tip balls during the game.
Are these people seeing Chad Jackson where he's not there?
Well, this is the second guy who said that.
Do you remember that?
No.
No.
But this is the second person who said that he saw Chad Jackson open during the game.
I saw Chad Jackson.
Did he throw it to him?
About four plays.
Oh, he didn't throw it to him.
No, he didn't throw it to him.
And I can't. Maybe we just missed it.
Yeah, maybe that was. But he was only on the field for a handful of plays.
Maybe we just missed that then.
Two, injuries to the secondary are taking a toll again. Both starting safeties out, Harrison and Wilson, with other injuries to Scott. And starting strong back, SB corner? I don't know. Randall Gay. Well, he's out for the season, right?
Oh, God.
Potential.
But if we're counting Randall Gay's injury as a loss here, I mean, come on.
The problem with injuries is not only the game's loss, but the timing of your play during the games that you come back from. I thought the secondary actually did pretty well, and things may have looked different if Colvin had not dropped the interception thrown right to him, and the almost very difficult interception dropped by Samuel on a play on a comeback by Wayne. I think the couple of these plays, of course, would have changed the look
this
of the game.
This guy's watching a different game.
I believe that.
I do remember these two plays, and to call those should have been interceptions is a major stretch.
I believe Belichick had Hobbs playing a lot of one-on-one against Harrison for the experience. I think from the experience gain in this midseason game will provide a good learning experience for Samuel and Hobbs as they get into the playoffs. Three, going back to number one, I just think the team lost a little focus from the run when they got a little behind. Well, we all agree
those
on that.
Those two guys can't cover Wayne and Harrison if they live to be 100.
Yeah, the running
you
thing...
You mean if Wayne lives to be 100?
If they all live to be 100.
The running thing, Fred, and I know you guys probably talked about this a lot before I came down, I think there were individual plays, and we talked about it. Fred, you were really upset about it during the course of the game. And I agreed with
this
you.
This isn't a hindsight thing.
And I still agree with you. No, that's why I'm pointing it out, because you said it while the game was going on. I think there were individual plays that they should have run the ball. And I think one sequence, which I'm sure you guys probably talked about.
I brought it up that you mentioned.
Yeah, okay. Right after Chad Scott's interception, they came out, they threw it incomplete, got tipped, picked off. I thought they should have been running the ball there. 54 yards away from tying the game, run it right down their throats, break their will, and now you own the game. But anyway, in terms of the actual numbers, running and passing, I don't think the numbers were that far. You know, I don't think the numbers were what people think they were.
I know.
They, through 50 minutes of the game, the first 50 minutes of the game, I just looked this up to record it for SPFW, they had run the ball 30 times, and they had passed it 25 times. Now, what happened in the last 10 minutes? The Colts kicked a field goal with 10 and change left to make it 27-17. From that point on, it was 8 passes, 3 runs.
Well, I'm telling you, Paul, my eyeballs tell me that they just
I agree with you.
It's not just running. It's Maroney.
I think they should have run the ball more.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm in agreement with Fred. I thought we should have seen more Maroney, either like catching,
I don't want to see any of Dylan. I know that it's not the politically correct thing. Maroney's better, in my opinion.
That's what we said.
And we had this Ask PFW last week, and everybody made fun of me because I'm the one that said, you know, I think they should just go with all Maroney. And everybody said, oh, you know, that's crazy. You know, I think the guy, if you give him 25 times a game to do that, what Tony Dungy talked about that you said you heard him say, where Bob Sanders made touchdown-saving tackles three times. If you give him more than 13 opportunities, he's probably going to break one.
Right.
Dylan, you can give it to him. He's not going to break one.
Me and Fred said the same thing. It's time now. Okay, they've brought him along slowly the first
second
half of
the year. Second half of the season, here we go.
Give this guy 20, 25 carries
a game.
Here
we go. Here we go. Jay says, disappointed in the result of the Pats game, but I'm trying to look at the positive. The Pats played like crap and had a chance to tie it in the end. Just some observations as I cruised NFL Sunday Ticket. One, Tom's right. The Bears are a fraud team. Miami dominated them, and only Joey Harrington kept Chicago in the game. Two, Denver is not all they're cracked up to be. In addition, they suffered a few defensive injuries that appeared to be serious against the Steelers. Three, Pittsburgh is playing like an expansion team. Stupid penalties and sloppy play. Cowers won his title, and it appears he has lost interest or is burned out. Four, Indianapolis is clearly the number one team in the NFL right now, but can they win in the playoffs with that horrible defense? Overall, the league is wide open, NFC excluded, but I would look out for San Diego. If Schottenheimer can get over his mismanagement of playoff games, I see them as a real contender for the title.
Good email,
yeah.
I think.
Sure.
You know, I was going to take exception to the Miami dominated thing. But as long as that's, I mean, if you count turnovers as dominating, then that's fine. And he stayed consistent throughout the email and talked about the Colts over the Patriots the same way. So I agree with that. And we had just made the same comment about Schottenheimer with San Diego.
Yeah.
So I
there's
think we
your
have
guy.
Some,
there's
we have
your
some
coach
agreement.
At Rutgers on TV, Greg Schiano.
You know what they're coming? You know what's coming up, Fred?
Rutgers Louisville.
Uh-huh.
It's a big game.
Yeah.
You watching it, Paul? Tom?
Yeah.
Is it on TV?
Probably not. Right?
It is. It's Thursday night.
Oh, it's
another
Thursday
night game?
Oh, that's good.
Back to back.
Did you see 2.5 Men last night?
Yeah.
He just sounded like Alan with that.
Yeah.
There's Jim Moore. He's got no eyelashes.
Louisville, Cincinnati, Syracuse, and West Virginia for Rutgers. Yeah, they're lucky if they win one of those.
They'll lose
three.
At Cincinnati. If they beat Louisville, they'll lose at Cincinnati.
Romeo writes in, sup, guys? I'm in Atlanta where Patriots fans are far and few between. Anyway, what is Rodney Harrison's deal? The guy probably has another NFL injury. I don't know what that means. An NFL injury? Quote? What's an NFL injury? I don't know. Anyway, look at this guy's 2 out of 4 interceptions were tipped. Brady made some bad throws, but it was the guy in the red sweatshirt. Yes, for the first time, it was Bill Belichick. And guys, I hate the Colts, too. But let's be realistic. Peyton has 2 receivers that would be stars on any team. Let's keep it fair.
That's what we said.
Yeah, but I still think Peyton Manning's pretty good. I'm not going to take anything away from Peyton Manning.
No.
Because those guys are so good.
How do you think Listen, you said it, Fred. Harrison was there. Reggie Wayne, I don't know if people remember this. During his second or third season, people were wondering if he was a bust. How do you think he got that good? Working with Harrison and Manning.
That's
how he got that good.
Anybody that thinks that Peyton Manning wouldn't be a great quarterback, it's just like Brady. We talked about it in the offseason when they had lost Givens, and then all of a sudden there was a chance they were going to lose Branch. I said, he's still going to be great, and he will be.
And other than the touchdown reception against Jason Sehorn, what did Brandon Stokley do before he got to Indianapolis? Because I don't remember him having 1,000 yards receiving in his career either.
I think, though, the most important part of that email is, for the first time, we're seeing people really questioning Bill Belichick in this game. Now, assuming he's making the calls or at least helping Josh McDaniels with the offensive game plan, and I was looking at the sideline.
You know the game plan is Belichick.
Yeah, and I was looking on the sideline, and the conferences, you know, when Brady was off the field, Belichick and McDaniels were in on all of those. It wasn't just McDaniels and Brady. It was the three of them. So
you could actually say, by the way, that 3 of the interceptions were tipped, even though I felt like 3 of the only one I didn't think was on Brady was the last one.
Right. No, that was clearly
Kevin Falk.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one deep down the seam to Ben Watson, he threw his hand up and it tipped.
It was a bad throw.
But it was a terrible throw.
It was a bad throw.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to say that tipped, well, that was tipped too.
Yeah. Rodney in Robertsonville, North Carolina. I can't catch the show live, so I don't know if this subject has been covered or not. Is it just me, or were the defensive backs giving way too much cushion to the wide receivers? I needed to ask someone that could see the whole field and not just the broadcast view. From the TV perspective, it was like 10-yard comeback routes were killing us. I claim not to be a defensive expert, so I assume
there was some reason why the wide receivers weren't being pressed. Let me know your thoughts. And Tom, Fred, and Gary equals the A team.
Hey, Fred's finally in an A team.
Anyway, we
what
talked
you, what
about,
you
the
think about the cushion
that they were giving people.
I thought they mixed it up, to be honest with
you. I did, too. I thought, remember I kept saying, why is Hobbs so close to Harrison, and why aren't they just throwing it to Harrison? I mean, they in the second half, I thought they came up a little bit more, especially on Harrison. And it's just tough, you know. If you come up on them, they can run by you. If you play back, they'll stop. It's, you know, this is as tough an offense as it gets to cover. It's tough. You're going to die either way.
I thought a very funny moment in the game was probably midway through the third quarter, Mike Felger from the Herald and ESPN Radio came over and he was, you know, all up in arms saying, why are they giving such a big cushion? Why did, you know, look, and then they break out of the huddle and Harrison and Wayne go wide, and there you go. You got Samuel right in Harrison's grill right in Wayne's grill and Hobbs right in Harrison's grill. And he goes, well, not on this play.
Not on this play.
Again, they don't generally do the same thing.
Right.
And if you listen to the post-game comments, at least two or three, I think Samuel said it to me, Seymour said it to me, and I think Colvin may have said it as well. If you do the same thing against the Colts, they will kill you. If you just go out there and have one thing that you're trying to do, they'll find a way to kill you with it. And you have to mix things up. You have to change.
Right.
And, again, you can't discount the fact that Rodney Harrison was out of that game.
Also, I think Tom's onto something with the fact that when the Patriots were making hay, really playing press coverage and knocking guys off routes, you had Ty Law. And that guy who can take one guy and shut him down or work one half of the field allows you to do that. You know, it gives you that little, you know, extra man to use for bump and run.
Yeah, I mean, look at Harrison against the Broncos when
yeah.
they had Champ Bailey on him. He was able to control him. I mean, now, obviously, they played it wrong because they left their other corner 35 yards off Wayne. But one thing I'll say about Manning is it seems like things are simpler this year. I don't see as much of the pointing and do this and this and this and
this. It didn't seem like they were snapping the ball with 1 second on the play clock all the time. And I'll tell you, I think that's a very underrated part of the game. And I think the teams that do that, they're constantly snapping the ball with 2 seconds, 1 second on the play clock, put themselves at a big disadvantage because I think you allow the defense to get off.
Yep.
You know, they can get off on the snap because they know that you have to snap the ball. If you look up at the play clock and there's 1 second left,
right?
I mean, let's face it, you can see that stuff. I mean, you're in an NFL stadium. You know, let's just say there's 10 seconds on the play clock, and you get down in your stance, and you look, and now they're getting ready. You know, I mean, you're in your stance for 8 seconds. You know they have to snap the ball.
Yep. They're just showing Bob Sanders on TV and all the stuff that he was doing. Also, they were talking about Rodney Harrison and his injury, and I don't know what they said about it. Tom was saying he heard it could be a rotator cuff.
Well, the Herald said today that there was a report in the Eagle Tribune that indicated that it was a torn rotator cuff. Now, I couldn't find the report in the Eagle Tribune that said that.
Yeah. And I don't know what the implication of a rotator cuff in football is.
It's a torn rotator cuff. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He'd have no strength in his shoulder.
Okay.
Like Hope in last year.
Was that a rotator cuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. Bob says, perhaps you can clear something up for me. When Josh McDaniels calls plays, does he check with Bill Belichick before each series or before each play, or does he have the autonomy to call plays or a series of plays he sees fit? I guess what I'm getting at is who decided to abandon the run in the third quarter?
Okay, can I take this one, Paul?
Go ahead.
There was a guy down in Dallas, you might have heard of him, by the name of Sean Payton. And the Cowboys like to run the ball on 3rd and 12, and he used to take a beating down there for doing so. Sean Payton went to New Orleans. They throw for 400 yards a game. Cowboys are still running the ball on 3rd and 12. That's because Bill Parcells has final say over any play called on the Cowboys. The same thing is true here. Any play that goes through, Belichick knows what it is. He has say in it. Don't think that Belichick's sitting on the sidelines like Art Shell, where his headphones don't work and he's just watching the game. That's not the case. So if you're going to blame somebody, you got to blame the head coach.
Okay. So when things go right, you give credit to them?
Yeah, credit the
I think
coach.
We have.
So with New Orleans,
please, let's not.
Then that means, Sean Payton's the head coach in New Orleans?
Yeah.
So he gets the credit for what New Orleans is doing on offense.
I think, but to think that, Belichick, look, I think that Josh McDaniels calls the plays. Okay. The individual play, I think that Josh McDaniels
calls them in. He calls them in.
I think that, first of all, Belichick would, without question, be able to say, we're running the ball here or we're throwing the ball here.
Right.
On any play. Number two, Josh McDaniels, in my opinion, calls the plays with what Bill Belichick has in mind. Mm-hmm. They go in with a game plan that is formulated, in my view, by Belichick during the course of the week and implemented by McDaniels on Sunday. There's a difference there. And just like I think what Tom just said, Sean Payton wasn't running the ball on 3rd and 12 because he thought that was the best thing to do. That's what Belichick instructed him to do during the course of the week. Did the play actually get called by Sean Payton? Yeah,
yes.
Probably. But with the knowledge of that's what Parcells wanted him to do. That's the way it works.
Well, it'd be interesting, though.
It's one of those things that you'd never find out exactly
and they don't
how all
want
the magic.
You to.
No,
you know,
no,
it's an insulation.
I just feel when you got guys like
335 max base throwback chip flare.
When you got guys like a Jimmy Johnson, a Parcells, or a Belichick, there's nothing going on in the entire game that's not going through them first.
One thing that and Belichick has said this before, so I don't want to make too big a deal, but the way he said it, and this goes back to how I interpret things, and you guys make fun of me
sometimes.
But after the game and on Patriots Monday yesterday, Belichick said, it was just a bad coaching job. I just need to coach better. He said that just like that.
But he does say that after every loss.
No, he says we need to coach better. But the way he said it, especially on Patriots Friday, I just need to coach better. The way he said it, it was. I know there were specific things that he thinks he screwed up on in this game, and one of them I hope is not giving the ball to Maroney more. I hope.
You might be right.
All right.
I don't think that's silly, Fred, when he says that.
No, I don't. It's the way he said it that I just knew that he was disappointed in himself. Ryan in London, England, after the disappointing 9-7 2002 season, the Patriots opened their checkbooks to sign Roosevelt Colvin. After winning the next 2 years, it was assumed that players could be brought in or retained for below market value, which then enhanced the price paid for what was available on the salary cap. If the Patriots fall short this year, I think they will pay above market value to sign players. But this might still be an off-year part of the strategy to place value on players and not to fundamentally overpay. Remember that superior coaching is a premium that is likely to entice players to sign for less. Because of the larger larger gaps of depth at linebacker, receiver, and cornerback, the Patriots might sign a marquee veteran or two in the offseason. But if they really make an effort, they should be able to, as was true regarding Colvin and Harrison after the disappointing 2002 season. What's the PFW view on what free agents might the Pats target?
Well, no player is going to come here for less because Bill Belichick is the coach if another team is offering them $5 million more. It's just not going to happen. Now, Adalius Thomas, is a free agent from Baltimore. If they let him go, they should be killed because...
Yeah, I'm going to wait and see who's a free agent.
So
we don't know who's
going to
be a free agent, and you won't know that until that stuff comes out. I mean, like Tom says, he's scheduled to be a free agent as of now, but a lot can change between now and the time that he would be available, which would be March, early March when when the new league year begins.
Let's see. Kyle is on the ball. He writes sends us the article by Hector Luongo. Says that, according to a source close to Harrison, the Eagle Tribune has learned that the fear is that Harrison damaged the rotator cuff in his shoulder and that he will undergo an MRI today to assess the damage.
Okay, so that's not a torn rotator cuff then. He has damage to the rotator cuff. That's not the same thing. So I would say that there's still hope, even if that's accurate.
Right.
The MRI would show how much damage there was. But if it's a torn rotator cuff, I would say his season's over.
Okay. Eric in Manchester backing up Tom. He says a shake and a protein bar is plenty. Sounds like over 500 calories. Tom should be taking in 2,000 or less a day, right on Tom.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
So there you go, Tom. Someone backing you up on your nutrition habits.
Well,
what do you have for dinner?
I have a sensible dinner.
A sensible dinner.
What
is this, Weight Watchers?
Slim Fast?
Yeah.
No, I have a reasonable dinner, like chicken or...
You have chicken every meal.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I eat hamburger and stuff. I just eat them without the buns.
Okay.
Really like to eat that much. There's a lot of things I don't like.
With Patriots Gridiron Grillers.
Next email says, frustrated in New Jersey. Didn't Belichick once say you have a good idea what your team is around the sixth or seventh week? So what do we have? A good team, a better than average AFC team, but not a playoff caliber team? How does this get fixed? I just get this feeling that if Maroney was on the other team, he'd be tearing up the highlight clips this year.
I think they're a good team.
I just don't understand what constitutes a good team and a playoff caliber team if 6-2 doesn't.
Well, it's who you beat, Paul.
Fred, they're a playoff caliber team.
Oh, definitely. But what will they do once they
sound,
get there?
But you make it sound like they were thoroughly outclassed in the two games they played against Denver and Indianapolis, and that wasn't the case.
Well, I mean, they could not anything on offense against Denver.
No, they couldn't.
Nothing.
They couldn't, but I wouldn't say that was the case against Indy.
No, I wouldn't either.
I think
either.
One of the problems is both those games were at home. This used to be a place where nobody came in and won.
It's,
now good teams are coming in and
it's definitely a problem
on a regular basis.
But I just don't understand why one week we win one game and it's Super Bowl or bust, and the next you lose a game and all of a sudden you can't beat anybody.
Right side Perillo. I like it. I like it.
Well, I mean,
well, no,
just
they're going
little,
to the playoffs. That's
the
a
thing
guarantee.
About me, Fred, is I'm remarkably consistent. I might not be right, but I'm consistent.
Right.
Maybe I'll prove to be dead
it's
wrong.
It's never as bad as it looks, and it's never as good as it looks.
Exactly. And when we win and I talk like this, I'm considered the negative guy. And when we lose and I talk like this, I'm considered a homer. Although this particular week, given a cover of our magazine, I guess I'm a homer.
Well, I mean, I think it was I think it was right to give Troy Brown his due.
I just thought not acknowledging the fact that we lost the game was a little bit much.
I was thinking no matter what, I was going to put Troy Brown on the cover. I just think that if not now, when? When are you going to give him his...
And lo and behold, you know, here comes Fred.
It was too late. It was too late to argue with you, so I just...
I just think that, constantly losing to good teams is a problem.
What Paul's referring to is usually after the game we have a cover on a newspaper reflecting the outcome of the game. But
happy ending.
I put
it was a great cover.
I put Troy Brown on the cover because he broke.
It was a cop-out.
The franchise.
No,
it wasn't.
Here comes Fred.
I told you, no matter what, Troy Brown was.
You see
be
this,
on
Gary?
The cover. Once,
what do you
yeah,
think?
Once he broke the record, I was going to put him on the cover no matter what. I think he deserves it.
What do you think,
if he
Gary?
Caught three passes last week, he'd have been on the cover. And,
yeah.
Okay.
If he broke the record.
You don't want to, jerk the quarterback off.
Absolutely.
I think I probably thought the same thing as you, Paul.
Okay.
Zeus, because you guys harp on the negative. You know, this is a guy who broke Stanley Morgan's record for all-time franchise
interceptions.
When are you gonna honor that? At the end of the season?
Put him in the Ring of Honor.
I think those are the kinds of covers that earn us the house organ reputation.
I don't care. See, that's, being a leader is not worrying about what other people think. You do what's right. You do what's right.
Hey, Fred Belichick over here.
You do what's right. Zeus.
I think Belichick is looking at that cover and saying, these guys are out of their minds.
Zeus from Rancho Mirage, California. Let's face it. The best way for the Pats to beat the Colts is if they play them in the postseason is to lose to them in the regular season. Pats nowadays play best when they have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, they didn't Denver last year.
On the side, I'm now convinced they play better on faster surfaces, so let's get synthetic grass for next year, please. You guys need to play more Rob Zombie as your bumper music.
I agree with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's the iPod thing doing?
Yeah.
How's the iPod thing doing?
It's great.
Have you added a lot of songs to it?
Yeah, I got songs.
Guy.
What's this? Say hi to Rook via ISDN.
You retarded.
What? This is the note he puts in front of me.
Apparently John Rook is a...
Are you there, John?
I are here, Fred.
Hey!
I'm surrounded by morons.
Rook. How are you, John?
He's excited. Texas up to five in the BCS. He's all pumped up.
See, this is what I look forward to the most on Tuesdays, is talking college football with Tom Casale.
Plus, I also think, John, that you have to think that West Virginia losing the game was better
There's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt. Now it's an entirely, and please, Tom, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here, because I know you will, but it's entirely possible and believable that Texas can end up in the national title game against Ohio State.
No question. Because Louisville's going to lose either this week or against Pittsburgh, so you can put that in the book, so they're done. Florida stinks. They'll lose somewhere along the line.
Plus,
so.
Florida could lose in the SEC championship game, too, pretty easily.
Plus, I think if West Virginia had won out, I think they would have gotten a spot, whereas if Louisville wins out, I'm not sure they will.
Yeah, I think that
I think they will, but I'm not sure they will.
Well, you know, the big thing here, Paul, is that Louisville is still seen as somewhat of a lesser contender because Michael Bush went out in the first week of the year.
Yeah. And they stink.
Well, they don't have a very good defense.
No, and that's going to get exposed sooner or later.
And I'm hoping that that happens, actually. I think I'll be rooting for RU on Thursday night. So.
Yeah, you got to be rooting for Rutgers. They're not going anywhere. They can go all the undefeated they want. Not going to no national championship game.
Your boy Colt McCoy continues to improve every week.
Yep. He's going to be a good one.
More importantly, John, are you agreeing with me that they just did not get the ball into Moroney's hands enough in the second half?
Yeah, I would have to say that's certainly part of it. But I would also agree, I think, with the mainstream here that, I mean, I don't think there needs to be any jumping off of the ship. But, the fact remains is that, the two teams they've lost to are the two best teams in the AFC. Over the last few years, they're what, combined 0-6 now against the perceived top three teams in the AFC. They're beating all of the lesser lights, and they're not beating the teams that they're supposed to be up there with. So, I mean, that is going to continue to hang over this football team until they finally do beat a team that, you know, at least there's some doubt about. And I don't know that that's going to be solved between now and the end of the regular season. I don't see that happen. I mean, they should win. Frankly, you look at the schedule, with the exception of Chicago, they should win the rest of these games, should be favored to win the rest of these games. And the fact that Chicago is here leaves me thinking that at least they'll have at least an average chance of beating the Bears. But until they can do it against either the Colts or the Broncos, there should be some doubts, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. They'll be favored probably in every game. I'm sure they'll be favored in that
every game.
They'll be favored against Chicago.
Every game. And so now, tell me, I want you guys to project down, though, 8 weeks from now, and if this team does end up 14-2, will it still be the same 14-2 as what it was a couple of years ago?
Well, I think the big key is, will 14-2 be enough for the bye? And it probably will.
I think it will be.
And if it is, then I think yes.
Because
I think if they get a bye, then I have no.
You still got Jacksonville too.
Well,
going
see,
to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think playing at Jacksonville, especially if Jacksonville has something that they have to play
right.
for. In other words, and the Patriots have long since clinched, which they can certainly take a major step toward doing this next week. But I think that will be somewhat problematic. But I don't see. This is where I'll disagree. I don't think that this 14-2, if it happens, and it's still a large if.
Yeah.
It's not the same as what it was a couple of years ago, because your losses are to the other heavyweights in your own conference.
How many graphics did PFW run about Patriots' record against playoff teams?
Yeah, and I can remember one of the years of the Super Bowl, and I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was now, but they had a losing record against teams with winning records.
Was that the first one?
It might have been the first one, but...
That's a great point.
It turned around with the playoff run.
That's right.
This has been going on for 2 years now. Since I've been here, they haven't beaten hardly any good teams.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, you can't just gloss over that.
I'm not glossing over it. I'm just saying if they go 14-2, I think that they've made steps to fix that.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, then I will agree with you there. Are the steps going in the right direction? Absolutely. Have they finished the job? They're not even anywhere close to even starting the job.
I agree.
They will start the job when they knock off a Denver or an Indianapolis in the AFC, semifinals or finals.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you tomorrow. Let the Moroney era begin.